Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Good Saturday afternoon, everybody, and welcome back inside the River Bandits Baseball Network here at ABC Supply Stadium in Beloit, where the Quad Cities River Bandits continue their six-game series against the High A affiliate of the Miami Marlins, the Beloit Sky Carp. Kyle Kirchville with you as always, wherever you're tuned in from today. Thank you so much for joining us for what's game 26 of the season and game 5 of this six-game series. For the first time in 2024, Quad Cities comes into a ballgame having lost three straight. The Bandits got a convincing 6-0 win in the series opener on Tuesday, but since then, things have not gone great for Quad Cities. On Wednesday, the Bandits scored 5 runs over their final 3 innings to make it close and put together a near comeback against the Sky Carp, but Beloit would hold on for a 6-5 win. And then over the course of their last 2 ball games, the game on Thursday and yesterday's contest on Friday, Quad Cities has been held to just 9 total hits and 2 total runs. The offense has really struggled, while the pitching has remained quite solid for the Bandits. QC gave up 5 runs in a 5-1 loss 2 nights ago. Yesterday, they gave up just 2 runs and only 3 hits. But the Bandits' bats mustered just 1 total run against the Beloit Sky Carp, and it came on a sacrifice fly. Otherwise, the Bandits' offense has been held extremely quiet the last couple of nights, and they'll look to turn it around here with an afternoon game on a Saturday in Beloit. Let's quickly recap yesterday's ball game. Again, game 4 of this 6-game series, a 2-1 Beloit win, fueled extremely by pitching. We expected a pitcher's duel coming into yesterday because both starting pitchers were top 10 prospects in their respective organizations. For the Bandits, it was Frank Mazzucato, who had not allowed a run in his first three starts this year. He wound up giving up two runs in his five-inning outing yesterday, but only two hits. For the most part, he worked around four walks, and he picked up four strikeouts, but just no run support for the young lefty. On the other side for Beloit, it was Carson Milbrandt, the Marlins' third-round pick 2 years ago, who was phenomenal and put together one of his best starts of his young career. He picked up a quality start, going six innings and allowing just one run while striking out seven. And as I mentioned a moment ago, the only run he gave up came on a sacrifice fly. The Bandits scored that run in the sixth, while Beloit took the early 2-0 lead in the third on an RBI single from Jake Thompson, and two batters later, an RBI fielder's choice for Jake DeLeo. That was the only blemish on the ball game for Mazzucato, but he wound up with the loss. Quad Cities couldn't hardly get anything going against Carson Milbrandt, but then they certainly couldn't against the combo of Edgar Sanchez, Tyler Ekberg, and Dale Stanovich, the three relievers who appeared for Billy Gardner Jr.'s club. Those three throw three scoreless innings, allowing no hits and just one walk while striking out six. Sanchez and Ekberg each earned a hold, and Stanovich pitched a 1-2-3 ninth with a couple of strikeouts for his first save of the year. The Bandits also got some good pitching out of their bullpen. Oscar Rayo and Ben Sears kept it a one-run game, allowing the bats a chance in the late frames. Rayo and Sears go three scoreless with five strikeouts of their own, no walks, and just one hit. The pitching has been the story for Quad Cities all year. Their ERA, 3.06 as a team. It is still the best mark in the Midwest League. Let's go ahead and run through the starting lineups for today's ballgame. And, of course, we'll dive into the starting pitching matchup in just a moment. But here's the lineup for the Bandits as put together by manager Brooks Conrad. Leading off, it's the center fielder Carson Rockefort. Carter Jensen will bat second and do the catching. And batting third, the first baseman Brett Squires. He slides up one spot in the order as Trevor Warner gets a day off. Cale Emshoff bats fourth. He's the DH. Dustin Dickerson mans short and bats fifth. And hitting sixth, the third baseman, Jack Pineda. Justin Johnson will be at second again, batting seventh. Gene Ramirez bats eighth and plays right field. And batting ninth, the left fielder, Davis Nadal. The starting pitcher for the Bandits is Henry Williams, who makes his fifth appearance and fourth start for Quad Cities. The 22-year-old out of Greenwich, Connecticut, is 1-0 with a 3.93 ERA. Now quickly the lineup for Beloit. Leading off, the third baseman, Yidi Capé. Jake Thompson bats second and is the DH. Batting third, the second baseman, Josh Zamora. Jake DeLeo's back in the cleanup spot, manning right field. Torin Montgomery's at first, batting fifth. Johnny Olmstead is in the sixth spot and is the shortstop. Jorge Caballero bats seventh and is in left field. Batting eighth, the catcher, Andrew Fernandez. He had a homer earlier this week. And batting ninth, the center fielder, Chase Luttrell. The Marlins' number 28 prospect, Ike Buxton, will get the start for Beloit today. It'll be his fifth start of the year. He enters with an 0-2 record and a 3.60 earned run average. A little bit more on the starting pitchers in just a moment. Both the number 28 prospects in their respective organizations, Quad Cities and Beloit, battling it out for the fifth time in six games this week. Quad Cities needs a couple of wins over this weekend to split this six-game series. Let's pause for today's national anthem. When we come back, we've got first pitch on this Saturday afternoon live on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting. Still there, oh.
River Bandits Baseball is back on the air today at ABC Supply Stadium in southern Wisconsin as the Bandits take on the Beloit Skycarp for Game 5 of a six-game series. Once again, good afternoon, everybody. Kyle Kirchival with you on the River Bandits Baseball Network, wherever you're tuned in from today. Thanks so much for joining us for Game 26 of the Bandits 2024 season and for Quad Cities, what they hope is their second win of the series. The Bandits have dropped three in a row after a 6-0 shutout victory on Tuesday. They'll look to get back on track against Ike Buxton, the starting pitcher for the Beloit Skycarp, who makes his fifth start of the year. Beloit today in the alternate Copa threats. They are playing as Las Paletas de Beloit. Las Paletas, a frozen Mexican treat that has become very popular here in the state line region, effectively a popsicle that's made with only natural ingredients. So you've got your citrus, your strawberry, all that good stuff. I heard there were some free ones around the ballpark today. I have not been able to get my hands on one, but if one made its way up here at one point, I would not be disappointed. The jerseys to accompany the moniker are almost a neon green with Paletas across the chest in a pink font. The numbers on the back also pink, along with the neon green hat with the popsicle logo on the front. The Bandits are in the road grays once again. That's the only uniform they have worn on the road thus far this season. It's got the two-state cap with the blue bill, the black cap, and then the Bandits logo in front of the states of Illinois and Iowa. A nice fresh look for the Bandits road jerseys this year. They were due for an upgrade, still wearing the same red threads the last couple of years after rebranding in 2021, but now they're officially up to date, and they've got some nice blue batting helmets to go with it as well. Carson Rockefort steps into the batter's box. He's ready to get this one underway. He'll be followed by fellow lefties Carter Jensen and Brett Squires. Righty Ike Buxton fires the first pitch of the ball game, and Rockefort sends it out of play over the left side for strike one. 106, the first pitch time today. Another warm ball game, 75 degrees. The pitch ripped foul down the right field line. It's 0-2. 75 degrees, your official first pitch temperature. Skies are partly cloudy, and there's a little bit of wind blowing out to left field, but nothing all that significant, especially compared to what we've seen the first couple of weeks in the Midwest League. Here comes the 0-2 to Rocco. It's bounced foul in front of the first base dugout. Three straight foul balls to start the game for Rockefort, who picked up his team-leading fifth double of the season to lead off the ball game yesterday, but he never scored. 0-2, ripped foul again down the right field line. Rockefort getting a little bit closer to evening it out, but he's still a bit in front of the fastball for Buxton. He's got just a three-pitch mix, a fastball, which is more or less a power sinker, a slider, and a changeup. For Buxton, it's not so much about the strikeouts as it is the ground balls. Ike does have 19 strikeouts in his first 15 innings this year, but it's really about making the defense work behind him. After a quick timeout, Rockefort's back in the box. Another 0-2 is taken outside. One ball, two strikes. Buxton last week took the loss against Cedar Rapids in game two of a doubleheader. Here comes the 1-2. Another foul ball off home plate into the first base dugout. Against the Colonels at Rise to Greatness Field, he gave up three runs in four innings. A season high six hits. He also walked three, picked up five strikeouts along the way. Lengthy at bat to open the game. Seventh pitch of the battle comes home. Rockefort can't check his swing. He chases in the dirt for strike three. And despite a valiant effort, he's retired for the first out. So one down for Beloit. That'll bring up Carter Jensen, the Bandits catcher today. Here's the defensive alignment for Billy Gardner Jr.'s squad. Left to right in the outfield, Caballero, Latrell DeLeo. Olmstead's the shortstop. Samora's at second base. Here's the first pitch to Jensen. Sinker, low, ball one. Capay's back at third. Montgomery across the way at first. And Andrew Fernandez doing the catching for the second time this series. 1-0 pitch. Sliced foul over the berm on the left side, down towards the Rock River, which runs adjacent to beautiful ABC Supply Stadium. Jensen had a 6-game hit streak and a 10-game on-base streak snapped yesterday. 1-1, grounded foul to the right side. 1-2. Despite the 0-for-3, Carter did bring in the only Bandits run of the game with a towering sack fly into the left field corner that easily scored Gene Ramirez. But that was all the Bandits could muster in a 2-1 loss yesterday. Buxton with the 1-2. Slider in the dirt. Good take by Carter. Jensen, the Royals' number 10 prospect, still leading the way for the Bandits in most offensive categories, batting .318 and owning a .926 OPS. He's got 9 extra base hits, including 2 homers, and he also leads the team with 13 driven in. 2-2 on its way. Low and inside. 3 balls, 2 strikes on Jensen. For the right-hander Buxton, he's 23 years old, born in Sun Valley, Idaho. A 15th round pick by the Marlins in 2022 out of Lipscomb University. Payoff pitch. That's another foul ball over the left side. Jensen a bit jammed on the sinker, but was able to fight it off. And the reason why it's a power sinker for Buxton. Normally you see that pitch in the low 90s. He throws his at 96. It's like trying to hit a bowling ball. Another 3-2. This one inside, and Jensen lays off for ball 4. Really good at-bat by the Bandits catcher. So a whole lot of foul balls to start the ball game. Quad Cities is getting some pitches that they want to swing at, but Jensen just the first base runner. So one man on and one man out for Brett Squires, Quad Cities' first baseman, who, like I mentioned in the pregame, moves up a spot in the order with the usual three-hitter Trevor Werner getting a day off. First pitch, low and inside. Of course, when Werner was nursing his wrist injury a couple of weeks ago, Squires became the everyday three-hole hitter for the Bandits, but he has hit fourth in 21 of his 24 games this year. 1-0. Swing and a miss. A vicious hack from Squires, but he came up empty. Count 1-1. First baseman Montgomery holding Jensen on at first. The Skycarp, or today Las Paletas, shift towards right field, playing Squires to pull the ball. Buxton's 1-1. Fouled back into the screen. It was that sinker again at 96. Brett's got a .261 average to his name. He's tied with Carson Rockefort for the team lead with 5 doubles. He also has 3 homers, 10 RBIs, and is second on the team with 15 walks. 1-2. Fouled over the screen. Well, at the very least, the Bandits are making Buxton throw a ton of pitches here in the first inning. He's recorded just 1 out, and he's had to throw it 18 times. Seems like every strike that's come in has been a foul ball, too. I don't know if the Bandits have taken a strike yet today. Jensen in the crouch, leading off first. 1-2. Low and in with the slider. It bounced off Fernandez's glove, but Jensen stays put. In addition to all the on-base and slugging numbers, Jensen can run. He leads the team with 9 stolen bases. Not too often do you see a catcher leading the team in that category. Buxton deals. Sinker just off the plate inside, and it's another full count. Squires, the former Oklahoma Sooner, still has an OU backpack that he carries around with him. He's been with the Royals since 2022 after signing as a UDFA. Payoff pitch. Just outside. It's ball 4. And it's back-to-back walks for Quad Cities. Well, this is one way to generate some base runners. Quad Cities only totaled 7 in their 2-1 loss yesterday, and the vast majority of those came within the first third of the ball game. Time is called by the Sky Carp. Their pitching coach, Jason Erickson, is going to meet with the battery atop the hill. Just getting underway at ABC Supply Stadium. Runners at first and second with one out in the top of the first. Buxton struck out Carson Rockefort after a quality duel, but then issued full count walks to both Jensen and Squires. The Bandits, with men in scoring position this season, have the second worst average in the league. And over the last two ball games, it's been a large area of concern for them. Right-handed hitting Kale Emshoff now in the box. He takes a first pitch sinker inside for ball one. Over this three-game skid, Quad Cities has the same number of hits as Beloit, both teams with 17. The pitch fouled off the hands off the first base dugout. They have the same number of hits, but just 3 of their 17 hits have gone for extra bases. And they're hitting 4 for 23 with runners in scoring position. That is an average of 173. First opportunity for the Bandits today is this at-bat for Emshoff. 1-1 drilled off the screen on the right side. Another foul ball, and it's 1-2. Emshoff still with that 5-game hit streak intact. During that stretch, he's hitting an even 300. His average on the season, 273, with 8 driven in. Big lead at first for Squires. He's about a third of the way to second base. Nobody holding him. 1-2. Called strike 3. Change up at the bottom of the zone. And Emshoff couldn't pull the trigger. So a couple of strikeouts in the ballgame already for Buxton. Quad City still with two guys on. And now today's five-hole hitter, Dustin Dickerson, steps up. This is the first time he's hit in the five spot this season. Normally you'll find him in the bottom third of the order. First pitch. Fastball taken for strike one. Brooks Conrad had to shuffle up the lineup a touch today with both Trevor Warner and Jared Dickey, who are mainstays in the heart of the card, getting a breather today. Buxton looks back towards second base. His 0-1. In the air, decently struck to right field, but that's going to hang up there for DeLeo. And he'll make the catch to his left in the inning. So Quad Cities gets a couple of base runners in their half of the first inning. Two walks issued by Buxton, but neither move from first or second base. And we go to the bottom of the first, but the score still nothing-nothing. Henry Williams out to the hill for the Bandits when we come back. The Greenwich, Connecticut native makes his fourth start of the year on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Henry Williams is back to the hill for Quad Cities today. Their starter back in a starting capacity for the first time since the middle of April. He began his Bandits tenure with back-to-back starts, but then on the 20th, worked 4 innings of relief against Peoria and was really solid. Gave up just 1 run in 4 frames, but his last outing was a start against South Bend. and he really struggled. First pitch from him today is to Yidi Capé, and it's taken for a strike at the base of the zone. Capé, Thompson, Zamora due up for the Sky Carp. Here's the 0-1. Fastball bounced foul off the Bandits dugout. Nothing in two. He gave up a career-high 7 runs and a career-high 8 hits against South Bend at Four Winds Field last week. Those 7 runs coming in 4 1/3 innings of work. 0-2. Got him swinging. A 3-pitch strikeout of Yidi Capé for out number 1. And Williams took the 94-mile-per-hour fastball up into the attic, and Capé chased him. So that's a great start to the ball game for the former Duke Blue Devil. And that brings up one of 2 left-handed bats in the order for the Sky Carp today. It's the DH Jake Thompson, who has been on just a tear to start the season. First pitch. Fastball right down the middle, 0-1. So Williams entered his last start against South Bend with an ERA under 1. It's now 3.93, still a very respectable mark. 0-1 pitch at the top of the zone, a called strike 2. Thompson has a 10-game hit streak, which means he's recorded a knock in every game he's played this year. He's hitting .447 with a .1080 OPS. He hit his first home run of the year a couple of nights ago. The pitch, high and away. 1-2. There goes the immaculate inning opportunity. Thompson yesterday 2-for-4 with a couple of singles and an RBI. 1-2. Foul ball off the glove of Jensen. He couldn't hold on to it. And the count holds. The velocity on the fastball for Williams ranges from 92 to 94. But he just touched 95 on the last pitch. Jensen asking for time. Did something fall off of his glove? He just handed something to Brooks Conrad. I'm not sure what it was. Looks like a piece of his equipment fell off, but nothing on the catcher's gear. It was something he had on his mitt. So he's right back behind the plate. No harm, no foul. A deep breath for Williams. Out of the wind, here comes the 1-2. Another foul ball. Thompson out in front of a changeup, doinks it back to the backstop. Defensively for Quad Cities, they've got Nadal in left, Rockeford in center field, Ramirez in right, Dickerson and Johnson up the middle at short and second base, with Jack Pineda at third, Squires at first, and the aforementioned Jensen behind the plate. Another 1-2. Fastball dribbled on the ground towards the first base side. It's picked up by Squires just to the right of the bag. It's a foul ball, and that is a new life for Thompson. He most certainly would have been the second out. For Williams, this marks his first full season as a member of the Royals organization, despite being drafted 2 years ago. He was originally a Padres product. Another 1-2 to Thompson is high and away. The slider got outside. He was traded in August of last year with Jesus Rios in exchange for Royals reliever Scott Barlow. The pitch. Called strike 3. Slider at the bottom of the zone. That's back-to-back K's to start the ball game for Williams. Threw a couple of high pitches to change the eye level. And then dropped 81 at the base of the zone. So a very good start for Henry. He's got 2 K's, and now Josh Zamora with the bases empty. First pitch fastball right there. Strike 1. Last year, he made 12 starts with the Padres single-A affiliate, Lake Elsinore, over in California before he was traded. 0-1, bounced on the ground to short, easy pickup for Dickerson. He gloves to his left, throw offline at first, but Squires comes off the bag and applies the tag to Zamora as he ran by. So nice work from Brett Squires, and nice work from Henry Williams. He's got a couple of strikeouts and a perfect inning. And we go to the top of the second with the score 0-0. This is Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Ready to welcome you back to a warm afternoon in southern Wisconsin, Quad Cities and Beloit, your matchup today. River Bandits looking to snap a three-game losing streak. It's their first since last season as they try to remain atop the Midwest League West Division. Here in the second, it's Pineda, Johnson, and Ramirez due up against the Beloit right-hander and the Marlins' number 28 prospect, Ike Buxton. First pitch fastball to Pineda is at the top of the zone for a called strike. At Jack, one of the few River Bandits to reach base multiple times in the game yesterday. He takes in the dirt, one ball, one strike. He went one for two with a single and a walk. His average on the year sits at .227, one homer, seven driven in. Here's the pitch. Wave and a miss, good fastball. And again, it's that power sinker from Buxton, 1-2. One of those pitches where even if you do make contact with it, it's very hard to elevate. That's why his ground out to air out ratio last year was over 2, the pitch. That's low. Two balls, two strikes. Buxton came just shy of qualifying for the league leaderboards. But that .206 ground out to air out ratio would have been fourth best in all of minor league baseball as Pineda sends one in the air to center field, but it's caught by Chase Luttrell, who didn't even have to move. Nice swing from Pineda. He'll get a pat on the back from the Bandits hitting coach, Ryan Powers, almost assuredly. But he is the first out in the second inning. It's probably the best swing Quad Cities has put on Buxton thus far. And up comes the second baseman, Justin Johnson. First toss, slider in at the top of the zone, a called strike. By the way, Glenn Meyerhofer is the plate umpire for Game 5 of this series. Brandon Schmidt, his partner, on the bases. Here's the 0-1. Sinker grounded to first. It's gloved with a backhand by Montgomery. Long flip to Buxton covering, but the pitcher wins the race to the bag. And Johnson is retired 1-3. So after a couple of back-to-back walks in the first inning, Buxton's retired 4 in a row. And he's got 2 quick outs in his second frame of action. So now, a left-handed batter and right fielder Gene Ramirez, who really helped manufacture that run for Quad Cities yesterday. He's in the 8th spot in the lineup today as he takes ball 1. Yesterday, he hit 9th, went 1 for 2 with a single and a walk. And that walk led to the 6th inning run. Here's the 1-0 pitch. Ground ball foul to the right side. Against Milbrandt, Ramirez worked a walk, then stole second base, then moved up to third on a balk, and then came in to score on the Jensen sacrifice. But you got to tip your cap to Ramirez for drawing the balk. 1-1, chopped on the ground again to the first base side, this time fair. Montgomery fields and flips to Buxton covering. Ramirez was bouncing all over the second base bag trying to draw the balk for Milbrandt. He eventually did and eventually was rewarded by scoring. Not so lucky this time, though. Buxton dispatches the Bandits 1-2-3 in a scoreless top of the second. We're still 0-0 on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together. Chris Binning for Ike Buxton takes us to the bottom of the second. Quad Cities and Beloit still scoreless in Game 5 of this six-game series. Middle third of the order due up for Las Paletas de Beloit, DeLeo Montgomery, and Olmstead. Henry Williams, the Bandit starter, off to a really good start. Threw just 13 pitches in his first frame of action, and 11 went for a strike. Jake DeLeo leads it off. He's first pitch swinging. He fouls one off the end of the bat into the screen. DeLeo, the right fielder for the Sky Carp, drove in a run on a fielder's choice yesterday, but was hitless. Here's the 0-1. That is hammered down the left field line, but foul over the concourse. It ricochets off the directional signage and then rolls down the trail. And DeLeo, 6 for his first 20 this year, an even 300 average. Williams fires the two-strike pitch, and DeLeo fouls off another one in almost the exact same spot. Henry threw 95 on the upper inside corner of the zone, and somehow DeLeo was still in front of it. Williams picked up a couple of strikeouts in the first inning and then got Josh Zamora to ground out. Again, in the driver's seat here. DeLeo fighting for his life, the 0-2. Slider taken inside. Williams has a fastball, a slider, a curveball, and a changeup. That traditional four-tool mix, as time's called by DeLeo. Williams normally sits 92-94 with the fastball, but we've seen him touch 95 a couple of times already. Here's the 1-2. It's another fastball and a swing and a miss. Third strikeout for Henry Williams. Again, he goes up and in with the heat. And this time, DeLeo can't foul it off. So Williams hitting his spots early, especially with the fastball. And that brings Torin Montgomery to the plate, another right-handed batter. First pitch, low, 1-0. Montgomery, the Beloit first baseman. He's the number 30 prospect in the Marlins organization. The pitch. Ground ball to the left side, ranging over Dickerson. He knocks it down with a slide, but doesn't have a throw. It squeaked past him momentarily into shallow left center field. Justin Johnson got over there to back him up to make sure Montgomery didn't try to advance. Yeah, that will be the first hit of the ball game allowed by Williams. Infield single to put Montgomery aboard. And now the right-hander moves into the stretch and will look for a double play ball off the bat of Johnny Olmstead. First pitch. Low, ball one. Olmstead hit eighth for the Sky Carp yesterday. He's now in the sixth spot. He went 0 for 3 with a strikeout and a pop-up. His average down in the 230s. 1-0. Check swing, didn't go, pitch was high. Two balls, no strikes. First time it feels like the Sky Carp have been in a multi-ball, no-strike count. Williams deals, 2-1, fastball, popped up on the right side, chasing for it, Squires, the first baseman can't get there. It lands in front of the on-deck circle for the Sky Carp, and Jensen, the catcher, never saw it. Squires did the whole way. He came sprinting in. Squires, or make that Jensen, was still down in his crouch, kind of looking around. And had he seen it, he would have had the best shot at it. So at the very least, it's the first strike on Olmsted. The count 2-1. Runner at first. One man out. Scoreless ball game. The pitch. Chopper to third. Tough turn. Pineda gloves to Johnson for one. On to first. Not in time. That one was just not hit hard enough. So Montgomery retired 5-4. Olmsted reaches on the fielder's choice. Two gone. Jack Pineda earning another opportunity at third base, filling in for Trevor Werner. This is the fifth career game for Pineda at third, and all five of those games have come this season. He had not played third professionally or even collegiately or even in high school before earlier this season, as Jorge Caballero takes a called strike. Brooks Conrad, though, said, it's not a problem. He is such a good infielder. We can put him wherever we need to. And in his debut a couple weeks ago, he looked tremendous at third. Throw to first base. It gets away from Squires. Up to his feet, Olmsted. He'll break for second base and get there without a throw. That's going to be, I believe, an E1 on Williams for the errant pickoff throw. First error of the ball game for either team. Olmsted was a decent chunk off the bag. I can understand why Williams wanted to throw over, and maybe if it was a more accurate toss, they would have had a shot at him. The Bandits picked off a base runner yesterday. So now a man at second, the 0-1 to Caballero, in the dirt, knocked down by Jensen. He tossed the mask aside, but Olmsted isn't going anywhere. Sure enough, it is officially an E1 on Williams. That's just the Bandits' 16th error of the season. That is the fewest in the Midwest League. Their team fielding percentage at .983, still the best mark. 1-1. Drilled into left field. It's over Dickerson and drops for a hit. Nadal up with it. They're going to send Olmsted to the plate, and he'll score easily. The throw way offline, and up the second moves Caballero. A two-out RBI single to give Beloit a 1-0 lead. That throw from Nadal was a good 20 feet to the left of home plate. Jensen had to go so far out of his way to get to it. Caballero realized he could get up the second. So that there may be a throwing error on Nadal, even though it never got away from Jensen. And they're not going to score it near. It's just going to be a single and an advancement on the throw. So there is that big hit that Beloit has been able to get and Quad Cities has not the last few ball games. First pitch to Andrew Fernandez is a breaking ball for a called strike one. Like Quad Cities, Beloit has not done great offensively over the last few ball games, but they've picked up just a couple more of those big swings, so to speak. 1-0. Off the hands, fouled over the screen on the right side. These last few games have come down to one or two swings. We saw Beloit using the home run ball to their advantage a couple of nights ago. They scored five runs, and four of them came on a pair of two-run blasts. Throwback to second, and Williams throws it into center field. Caballero will stay put at second. Rockefort was backing up well. That was almost the second error of the inning for the Bandits pitcher. Williams will rub up the baseball as if to enhance his grip, I guess. Fernandez in a 1-1 count at the plate, playing in his seventh game for the Sky Carp this year. The pitch. That curveball's left up, 2-1. So after retiring the first four batters he faced, including four strikeouts, things have slowed down a bit for Williams here in the second inning. 1-2. That is a bit up. And it's 2-2. For Caballero, that RBI his sixth in 16 games this year. Lloyd has scored first in the ball game.
now back-to-back games. 2-2. Got him swinging. Another K via the fastball. Too much heat for Fernandez to handle. Williams bookends the inning with a couple of strikeouts, but not before Beloit takes a 1-0 lead. A two-out RBI single from Jorge Caballero, the early difference. Off to the third, 1-0 Carp on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Welcome back inside ABC Supply Stadium here in Beloit, Wisconsin. And may the 4th be with you. Kyle Kirchvill joining you atop the press box here at the newest ballpark in the Midwest League. The Skycarp have the first lead of the ball game. An RBI single off the bat of Jorge Caballero has made it 1-0 Beloit. Top of the third inning gets started with Davis Nadal at the plate. He takes at the top of the zone for a called strike. Ike Buxton, the starter for the Sky Carp, still out there. The pitch. Nadal fouls it over the screen, out of play. 0-2. 13th game of the season for Davies. And his 8th in left field. Brooks Conrad's utility man filling in. 0-2. Wave and a miss. Great curveball. I guess that was the slider from Buxton, but it looked like a curveball. It moves so much. There's one down quickly. Well, he has been locked in since really the first inning. He'll now go second time through the order, having not allowed a hit so far. Just a couple of walks, but also three strikeouts. He K'd Rockefeller to start the game, and now he misses low and inside to him for ball one. Rocco, 22 years old, born in Beaumont, Texas. The pitch. In the air, slicing out a play on the left side, foul. In his first season in high A, he's batting an even 200. However, he's got 8 extra base hits, including 5 doubles, a triple, and 2 driven in. And he's also tied for third on the team with 12 ribbies, and he bats leadoff. 1-1. Swing and a miss. Good changeup. One ball, two strikes. Rockefeller asks for time. He's in a bit of a skid right now. Rockefeller hitting in the 100s, the low 100s over the last 4 ball games. 1-2. Slider just outside. Boy, I'm not sure where that one missed. But Rockefeller, with a better eye than mine, moves the count to 2-2. Buxton already set to fire once more. The pitch. On the ground, through the left side, a base hit. Cut off in left center by Luttrell, but Rockefeller goes for 2. The throw is going to be late, and Rockefeller's got his second double in as many ball games. He never hesitated around first base. And the Bandits' first hit of the ball game is extra bases. One just sort of floated above the turf. I initially called it a ground ball. I think it was technically a line drive. seemed to kind of keep rising as it sliced its way into left center field. So the tying run in scoring position for Jensen. He takes high for ball one. So now Rockeford by himself leading the team with six doubles this season. That's tied for the ninth most in the Midwest League. Jensen with a walk is first time up. 1-0. Change up a bit low. 2-0. Feels like there's a lot of pressure on Jensen in this lineup right now. Quad City's offense has been so quiet. They've leaned on him considerably as he sends one foul out of play on the left side. It's 2-1. You'd like for someone else to kind of run with Jensen, so to speak. Got a couple of guys who have put overall good seasons together to start at the plate. But Jensen has been the only kind of premier guy, so to speak. 2-1. Low and inside, 3-1. Not to say that Jensen's not going to continue to perform at the level he has been. But there's a good chance his OPS is not going to be over 1,000 all season. Hitters count for him, the 3-1. Line drive center field, Luttrell turning, adjusting. He makes the catch and fires it back in. Boy, that's an unfortunate out for Jensen. He destroyed that ball just basically right at Chase Luttrell. So once again, the Bandits are unable to move a man off second base. Rockeford had a leadoff double to start the game yesterday, and he remained stuck at that base the entire time he was out there. Wind picking up a little bit here at ABC Supply Stadium. A few gusts whooshing the flags in center. Here's Brett Squires swinging through a first pitch. That'll generate a whoosh. It's basically now blowing across the diamond from the right field to left field foul pole. Squires a walk his first time up, a la Jensen. The pitch, an ugly swing and a miss, 0-2. Slider from Buxton was well low. Squires tried to put on the brakes, but he'd already committed to the swing. So two outs, Skycarp up 1-0 in the top of the third. Rockeford represents the tying run at second base. Olmstead, the shortstop, holds him. Buxton's 0-2. Fastball drilled left center field. Base hit. That's going to go all the way to the wall. In to score Rockeford. Squires up to second base, and he stops there with a game-tying double. That is the big swing Quad Cities has been looking for. RBI number 11 for the Bandits' first baseman. And it's a two-out RBI nonetheless. Buxton finally left a pitch center cut. Squires had whiffed through a couple of pitches in his first and second at bat, but in the latter, he's able to finally put one into play. So that is the sixth double for Squires. He quickly hops back atop the leaderboard with Rockeford as Kale Emshoff takes a strike. Rockeford, the sole leader in doubles for the Bandits for all of one batter. Brett Squires wasn't going to let him pull away. Brett with a big lead at second. 0-1, wave and a miss. Good changeup. Got Emshoff a bit in front. Kale went down looking. Retired on strikes in the first as one of the three Ks for Buxton. Now a 1-1 game in the top of the third inning. Ike, again, looking back towards Squires, where nobody holds him. 0-2, in the dirt, knocked down by Fernandez. Squires stays put. Kale just celebrated his 26th birthday 2 days ago. Undrafted free agent picked up by the Royals back in 2020. And over the last 4 years, Emshoff has spent at least some time here in Quad Cities. The pitch. Check swing. Foul back to the screen. Emshoff got about a millimeter's worth of contact on that one, but enough to stay alive. Pitch count for Buxton now closing in on 60 through 2 2/3. Bandits have made him throw a lot of pitches with a lot of foul balls. Here comes the 1-2. Foul ball ripped into the netting on the left side. Good cut from Kale. Got a hanging slider, but he was just a little out in front. 84-mile-per-hour pitch for Buxton. His fastball has been sitting comfortably at 96 throughout the first third of the ball game today. He'll try again. Emshoff with the check swing. Did he go? No appeal. He clearly didn't go, and the pitch, I guess, outside. So no ask to Brandon Schmidt. Glenn Meyerhofer says, I got this one handled. 2-2 count. Squires extending his lead even further at second. The pitch is low. Full count now on Emshoff. So this will be at least an 8-pitch at-bat. Buxton now at 60 pitches. Right-hander dangles the ball out in front of him as he looks in for the sign for Fernandez, using his glove to lean on his left leg. Now time called. Fernandez wants to go through the signs again. Bandits just tied it up in the top of the third on a two-out RBI double for Brett Squires. He is still at second base, and Emshoff is trying to drive him in with a lengthy at-bat. Ready to resume the 3-2. Line drive, center field, that's a hit. Latrell comes up with it. Squires on his way home. The throw is cut off. The Bandits are in the lead. Kale Emshoff picks up the Bandits' third hit of the inning. And it's their second with two outs. Make it 2-1 River Bandits here in the third. So not only has Buxton thrown a lot of pitches, but the Bandits have stayed alive long enough to finally get something at the tail end of their at-bat that they're able to do something with. All three hits for Rockefort, Squires, and Emshoff. Hit with significant velocity. Just barreled up. And now Dustin Dickerson will look to keep the two-out rally going. The 2-1 lead for Quad Cities is their first lead since they led 1-0 on Thursday. They would lose that game 2-1. Dickerson, a fly out to right field his first time up. The pitch, low and away with the slider. Sky Car pitching coach Jason Erickson had just made a visit out to the hill. Now he's back in the first base dugout. Dickerson batting .222 in 18 games this year. The pitch. Another fly ball towards right. DeLeo to his left, and he makes the catch in almost the exact same play he had the last time Dickerson was up. Quad Cities, though, not only ties the game, they take the lead. A two-out double from Brett Squires to tie it. An RBI single from Emshoff to give the Bandits a 2-1 advantage. Bottom of three next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Quad Cities has its first lead of the game. They're up 2-1 as we start the bottom of the third inning. Henry Williams back to work for the Bandits as he starts Chase Luttrell with a called strike. 9-1-2 due up for the Sky Carp. Luttrell, Cappe, and Thompson on your scorecard. Thompson, the second of two lefties on said card as he takes outside. 1-1. Now, Williams has gotten the best run support among any River Bandits pitcher this season, as the 1-1 is a curveball on the outer edge, a call at strike two. When Williams starts, the Bandits average 6 runs of offense a game. The pitch. Ground ball up the middle. It gets past Johnson into the outfield turf. Luttrell will stop at first base. He's got another knock. Hits in now 4 of the first 5 games for him this week. So he's done a good job in that 9 spot, sort of setting the table for the top third. And it's Edie Cappe who will try to take advantage. Cappe, the highest rated prospect in the order for Billy Gardner Jr. today. He's first pitch swinging and flies it to right field. Starting out, now coming in Ramirez. He makes the adjustment for the catch. Throw back to first, almost doubled off Luttrell. But it's just one out. Well, Ramirez's bad read almost helped him turn a double play. Of course, if you've played the outfield before, you know that a line drive right at you is the hardest one to gauge. Ramirez with a little bit of trouble sort of dialing in the trajectory, but he eventually recovered to make the catch, and Luttrell had to scamper back. Here's Jake Thompson. He's first pitch swinging. He fouls it into the screen. Boy, him and Yedi Cappe are two of the most aggressive 1-2 hitters in the league, at least for the teams we've seen this season. Seems like they swing at the first pitch at least 3 out of 4 times. Williams struck him out looking back in the first, one of the right-hander's 4 Ks. 0-1 to the plate. Fastball, chest low, maybe a bit outside. It's 1-1. Luttrell, the center fielder over at first base. 2 for 2 stealing bags for the Sky Carp this year. He doesn't go. The 1-1. Again, just a bit low, maybe outside. It was almost the exact same location as the previous pitch. This time Williams tried to swoop the slider in there, but to no avail. Squires holds the runner. 2-1 Quad Cities in the bottom of the third. The pitch. Popped him up. Left side of the infield. Jack Pineda, really the only man over there, maneuvers to his left and makes the catch. Thompson is out number 2. Well, the Bandits had been shifted to right, playing the left-handed bat to pull the ball. And when the pop-up went over to the left side of the diamond, there was nobody but Pineda who could make the catch on it. So 2 away and a man on for Josh Zamora. Sky Carp took the initial lead of the ball game with some 2-out offense in the second as the first pitch is in the dirt. Luttrell takes off for second. The throw may have been in time, but Johnson lost the ball on the tag. And Luttrell is going to move up on a wild pitch. That is the 5th of the season for Williams, but his first 4 were all in his last start against South Bend last week. The 1-0. That's high. Not only did Williams give up a career-high 8 hits in that game against the Cubs, those 4 wild pitches just added insult to injury because guys would reach with singles or doubles and then the wild pitches would move them up into scoring position. And it just made life easier for the Cubs offense. 2-0. Curveball just outside. 3-0. Zamora grounded out to short his first time up. Sky Carp second baseman hits 259 with a team-high 4 homers this year. That's why he's in the 3 spot. The pitch. Fastball for a strike at the top of the zone. 2-1 Bandits in the bottom of the third inning. Sky Carp do not have anybody warming up despite Ike Buxton throwing 63 pitches in his first three innings. Williams at 43. The 3-1. Wave and a miss out in front of a curveball that looked like it was stuck in molasses on its way in. Just sort of oozed past the bat of Zamora at 80, which of course is not the slowest curveball you're going to see, but it's most certainly the slowest Williams has thrown today by several miles per hour. So he's got himself back in the count. 3-2 pitch in the air center field. Rockefort with a few steps back, now squaring up to home plate. He makes the catch and ends the inning. So good work from Williams. He gives up the leadoff single, but then retires the top third of the Skycarp order. Bandits remain in front, 2-1. We go to the fourth on May the 4th on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Opening up the middle third of this afternoon's ball game, Quad Cities and Beloit in the midst of a six-game series. Skycarp lead 3-1. Bandits need wins today and tomorrow to try to split this set and avoid their first series loss of the summer. Quad Cities 16-9, tied with Wisconsin for the best record in the Midwest League West Division. Beloit just a game and a half behind as Jack Pineda swings at the first pitch, flies it in the air to left field, and it lands just foul on the left side of the chalk. And Chris Corbett and Jack Pineda don't know how that one was foul. We're going to take another look at that replay. Brooks Conrad, the third base coach, imploring that it was fair. I couldn't see because of the way the wall is set up here at ABC Supply Stadium. And Brooks Conrad just got thrown out. Glenn Meyerhofer throws out the Bandits skipper. And now Brooks is really letting him hear it. I am going to have to get another look at that to see if Brooks has a gripe. Because, like I said, I could not see it from my vantage point up here in the booth. But that's the first time Brooks has been ejected this year. And typically, he is a very reserved guy. He's now asking Brandon Schmidt for his opinion, who has just walked down. And now Glenn walks away. He's just going to talk with Schmidt. Pineda was standing at first base. He thought he had himself a hit. He had fist-bumped Chris Corbett. And it looked like we were going to move on. Okay, here's a replay up here in the booth. Wow, I think that was fair. I think Brooks has a gripe. So the Bandit skipper will go to the showers for the first time this season. And the acting manager will be Ryan Powers, the Bandits hitting coach. Looks like Jared Dickey just put on one of the coach's caps. He's going to go out to coach first base while Corbett moves to third. So our first ejection of the year. Brooks Conrad thrown out by Glenn Meyerhofer. Score 2-1, Bandits in the top of the fourth inning. Jack Pineda is back behind the plate. I'm not sure what we're waiting for here. The umpires are looking into the third base dugout, and I think they're waiting for Brooks to leave. And he eventually does. He had thrown some stuff in the trash and kind of adjusted his belongings. And now we will resume. Alrighty then. So Pineda's leading off the inning. There are no outs, nobody on. This is the second pitch of the frame. The 0-1 grounded foul past Dickey. Brooks ejected just twice last season. Like I said, he's not a guy that gets thrown out all that often. Usually his conversations are very cordial, and maybe he disagrees, but he doesn't get super animated or loud unless he really disagrees. And based on the replay I saw, I can understand. Pineda grounds the 0-2 foul to the right side. Jack, a fly ball to center field his first time up. Former Baylor Bear missed most of last season with an injury, but now back with QC. Buxton pauses at the belt, now runs the pitch clock down to 4. He deals, and it's low. Buxton kind of has an interesting route to get to Beloit. He was originally recruited as a catcher by Boise State when he was coming out of high school. Here's the 1-2. Swing and a miss. Got him with a slider. Pineda down on strikes for the first out. It's the fourth K of the ballgame for Buxton. But after just one season with the Broncos, the team moved Buxton to the mound at the end of 2019. Then in 2020, when he was supposed to be a pitcher, of course, it was the COVID-shortened year, and he only made 5 starts. Here's Justin Johnson. First pitch to him. A little bit low, maybe outside. So then, he's ready to come back in 2021, but Boise State drops its baseball program. So that's why he transferred to Lipscomb. 1-0. That is a called strike, top of the zone, 1-1. But there are some similarities between Buxton's route and the Bandits' Steven Zoback, who also was a catcher growing up. The pitch. Low, 2-1. But it just goes to show how talented these guys are. You've got Buxton and Zoback, who didn't even start pitching until their college careers, and yet they're both guys that were drafted within the first 15 rounds and are now top 30 prospects in their respective organizations as pitchers. Johnson takes outside. It's 3-1. But it's funny talking to Zoback about that, because he said back in high school, like, he never would have thought he'd be doing any pitching. Never even stepped on the mound. Johnson grounds the 3-1 past Corbett behind the coach's box. It's now full. And not only is Zoback a pitcher, he is a starting pitcher. And, of course, you can see guys that are position players transfer to the bullpen. I'm not going to say easily, but it's way more common than starting pitcher. 3-2. Check swing. It's a foul tip and a swinging strike 3, as signaled by Glenn Meyerhofer. Back-to-back Ks for Buxton. He's got 5 in the ballgame. And there are 2 down in the 4th. Of course, you think back throughout baseball history, and you've got guys like Rick Ankiel, who went the opposite way, who were pitchers and they went into the field. But get these guys that already throw hard, then you move them to the mound. And as relievers, it's easier to go in and maybe work an inning, throw 15 pitches, throwing as hard as you can, and then be done. But there's quite a lot that goes into being a starter, and both Zoback and Buxton have made that adjustment. Gene Ramirez just fouled off the first pitch he saw. Second toss is poked to the left side. One hop grab by Olmstead. Throw across his body to first is in time. It just beats Ramirez, and the inning is over. So the Bandits are retired 1-2-3. The skipper, Brooks Conrad, is ejected. And we go to the bottom of the 4th with the Bandits in front 2-1. This is Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Mauer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. Well, despite what goes in the books as a 3-up, 3-down frame for Ike Buxton, the top of the fourth, an eventful one. Bandit skipper Brooks Conrad ejected for the first time this season by plate umpire Glenn Meyerhofer. Brooks arguing that a ball off the bat of Jack Pineda was fair down the left field line. It was signaled foul, and amidst his plea, Brooks was ejected for the first time this season. So, here in the bottom of the fourth, the Bandits have a 2-1 lead, and Henry Williams pitches to Josh DeLeo for 5-6 due up. The Bandits hitting coach, Ryan Powers, will now be the acting skipper. There is no bench coach on the Bandits staff this year. 1-0, hit well towards left field, long run for Nadal, but the speedy guy gets to it. Moving over to his right, he hauls it in, and there's one away. Williams has now retired four in a row going back to the third inning. He's only given up two hits today. Both have been singles. But an error that he committed helped the Skycarps score their lone run in the second. Now he goes right on right against Torin Montgomery. First pitch breaking ball right there, strike one. Now Johnny Olmstead reached on a fielder's choice. But then an errant pickoff throw while Olmstead was at second base moved him to third, and that helped the run score as Montgomery takes low. Torin with his single now back to the Mendoza line. The pitch. A bit inside from Williams. Henry's been really good to start his season in Quad Cities. He's allowed just one unearned run today, even though he's the one who made the error. And he's got four strikeouts and three and a third. The pitch, that's low. If you take away his start last week, as a starter, Williams has only given up one unearned run. But, of course, that's not how this game works. 3-1. In the air, deep right field into the corner. Ramirez ranges back, looks up, and it one-hops the wall. Montgomery around first. The throw from Gene in right field is a bit late. A feet-first slide gets Ramirez in. Make that Montgomery in with a one-out double. That's his second hit of the ball game. Third double of the year for Montgomery. And just like that, the tying run into scoring position for Johnny Olmstead. Johnny, the man who reached on the fielder's choice and came in to score on the Caballero two-out single. Right on right, Williams out of the stretch. First pitch gets Olmstead leaning out of the way, and it hit him. I'm not sure where. Jensen made the catch on the pitch, but immediately Glenn Meyerhofer pointed down to first, and Olmstead started taking off the gear. Well, that must have gotten him up by the arms somewhere, maybe a brush against the shoulder. But because Jensen caught it, you can rest assured knowing that it didn't hit him square on. So the first real traffic that Williams has faced in an inning. First and second, one out for Caballero, who sends one towards the right field corner. Ramirez, feeling for the wall, makes the catch with room. Montgomery's going to tag up and go to third base. And there are two outs now on the board. Caballero trying that aggressive approach. Almost went Oppo Taco, but not enough Wheaties. So two down, men on the corners for Andrew Fernandez, the Skycarp catcher. 25-year-old hails from Hialeah, Florida. He was a free agent picked up by the Marlins last year. Bandits holding on to a 2-1 advantage. Williams struck out Fernandez his first time up. The pitch out in front of the off-speed, a swinging strike one. Nobody warming up in either bullpen right now, but it looks like the Skycarp do have a right-hander who maybe was throwing at one point, and I just didn't notice it. Here's the pitch. Called strike. Change up on the lower inside corner. Well, now that right-hander is throwing some kind of medicine ball up against the wall, so I don't think you have to worry about him coming in just yet, but it is worth keeping an eye on Buxton's pitch count, which is now at 76. Williams at 57. His 0-2. High with the fastball. Couldn't get him to chase. A classic eye-level changing toss there. Would not be shocked to see one of those breaking balls down below the knees. Montgomery away from third, Olmstead from first. A throw to first base, back with a dive, Olmstead. They have not put it on the scoreboard here at ABC Supply Stadium, but there are two outs. Hopefully everybody is aware of that. The pitch. Ground ball, third base. Two-hand pickup by Pineda. He goes the short way to second, and that ends the inning. More good work from Henry Williams. He works around the traffic and strands both the tying and go-ahead runners on base. He's through four. We go to the fifth. It's 2-1 Quad Cities on the River Bandits Baseball Network. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodman Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Well, through four innings, Quad Cities has been treated to yet another good start. Today, it's Henry Williams, who's given up just one unearned run through four innings with four strikeouts. He stranded a couple of Skycarp runners in the home half of the fourth. And now, at the plate, the Bandits will look to extend their 2-1 lead. 9-1-2 due up for QC, starting with Davis Nadal, today's starting left fielder. I mentioned right before the last break that Buxton's pitch count is over 75. Nadal first pitch swinging, fouls one to the right side for a strike. While Ryan Powers is now the Bandits' acting skipper, Chris Corbett has gone from the first base coach's box to the third base coach's box. A one. Fastball up. And Jared Dickey, who is getting a rare off day today, is manning first base. He's got the coach's helmet, stopwatch, and everything. Even what looks like a lineup card sticking out of his back pocket. If you didn't know him, you'd think that's just another coach. 1-1 to Davies. Around the feet of Nadal. He gets out of the way. Two balls, one strike. Nadal is only hitting 162 this year, but he's provided some good defensive versatility for Brooks Conrad. And he's also still leading the Midwest League with his three triples. 2-1, big hack from Nadal. He came up empty, and now he's in a 2-2 count. Although the pitch count's getting up there for Buxton, he's still been pretty effective. Just two runs allowed in four innings. Bandits have three hits and two walks against him, but he struck out five, including two, in a scoreless fourth inning. Looking to start out the fifth with a K, the 2-2 pitch. Low and in with that power sinker, and it's a full count. Carson Rockefeller waits on deck. He doubled his last time up and sparked that third inning rally. The payoff. Line drive, softly hit, caught on the right side by the second baseman, Zamora. And there is one gone. Nottie may have gotten that one off the hands just a little bit. 92 on the inner half of the zone. He couldn't quite get around on it. And now the aforementioned Rockefeller. Sun starting to peek through, some mostly cloudy skies today. The wind has shifted. It's now blowing out to center field. Temperature is still in the mid-70s. First pitch. In the dirt, ball one. The Sky Carp have gotten in a new pitcher up in the bullpen. Looks like Jared Poland. That's a guy that the Bandits are a bit familiar with. He was in Beloit last season. The 1-0. Low and inside to Rocco, 2-0. We'll definitely check in with the rest of the Midwest League scoreboard today, where there's one other game going on. Everything else starts later tonight. The pitch. Drive to center field to his left and playable for Latrell. He makes the catch. And Rockefeller's retired despite a good line drive swing. The Bandits have had three or four of those in this game where they've hit it well to the outfield, but just right at a Sky Carp. And now up comes Carter Jensen. Carter without a hit over his last two ball games. 0 for 1 with a walk today. First pitch. A little bit low, 1-0. Jensen now sitting at 199 career walks since 2022. His first full season in the minors. The pitch. Inside, 2-0. He has 24 to lead the Midwest League and the Bandits, of course, this year. And he is fifth in minor league baseball since 2022. 2-0. Another one off the plate inside. Three balls, no strikes. Another left-handed bat in Brett Squires waits on deck. He hit an RBI double his last time up to give the Bandits their 2-1 lead. The pitch. Swing and a miss. An aggressive Jensen comes up empty on a 3-0 swing. It's 3-1. Feels like more often than not, that's what Jensen's been doing this year. Here it comes. Line drive, right field, over the leaping Montgomery and down the line. To the wall it rolls. Jensen burning around first. He's up the second, and he stops there with a double. Fourth double of the season for Jensen. He got a pitch on the lower inside corner with a 3-1 count. He opened up the hips and sent the barrel through it. So now Jensen will look to start a new hit streak. He's got knocks in seven of his last eight ball games. And he continues to be one of the best offensive pieces in that Bandits order. So a man at second, two outs, and Brett Squires up, who had a double himself, as I mentioned just a moment ago. He's first pitch swinging, and he chops it foul off the first base dugout. Both teams now with four hits in the game. Henry Williams has the only error, and it led to an unearned run scoring on him in the second inning. But the Bandits are up 2-1. Buxton from the first base side of the rubber sets at the belt. The pitch fouled off the end of the bat, dribbling down the first baseline into the coach's box. Squires getting aggressive, but just because he's in a two-strike count doesn't mean his at-bat is over. He's been one of the best to battle with two strikes this season. Big tall stance in the left-handed box, his front leg lifted up as he drives this pitch to center field. Going back, Latrell, still going back, it's off the batter's eye and gone. Brett Squires with a towering two-out, two-strike jack, and the Bandits now lead 4-1. Now with the wind starting to blow out, you had a feeling that one was going to leave the yard. That ties Jared Dickey for the Bandits team lead. Fourth of the year for Squires. And it may have just driven Ike Buxton out of the ballgame. Beloit skipper Billy Gardner Jr. has walked down to the hill. He will take the baseball from Buxton, and we've got our first pitching change of the ball game. A two-run blast from Brett Squires has given Quad Cities a 4-1 lead. Back after the change on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
As expected, the new pitcher for the Sky Carp is the right-hander Jared Poland. He takes over with the bases empty and two outs and will face a fellow right-hander in Kale Emshoff, the Bandits' cleanup batter. Poland takes a deep breath out of the wind. First pitch will not come just yet. He steps off with the music still playing. Glenn Meyerhofer resets the clock. Now his pitch popped up out of play over the first base side. The straw that broke the camel's back was the two-run homer from Brett Squires. He now has a multi-hit, multi-RBI game. He had the go-ahead RBI double with two outs in the third, and then a two-out, two-strike, two-run homer just a moment ago. 0-1. Low and away, one ball, one strike. As I was mentioning a moment ago, Poland was a member of this Skycarp team last year, and he was a mainstay in their rotation. Little slider 1-1, nips the lower outside corner. It's 1-2. Last year with the Sky Carp, 19 appearances, all starts. He put together a 4.94 ERA with 92 strikeouts in 98 and a third innings. This year, he's made five appearances, and four of them have been in relief. He made just a two-inning start his last time out on April 25th. 1-2. Fouled into the screen and back down into the home plate area. Poland this year, 1-0 with a 4.50 ERA. The game in which he earned his first win was on April 20th against the South Bend Cubs when he gave up a season-high two runs in one inning of relief work. So we'll see how much or how far he works today as Emshoff takes low. It's kind of interesting, a guy who was very stretched out as a starter last year now has not gone beyond two innings and five outings this season. 2-2. Another foul ball right over the screen and my head. It thumps onto the press box roof, and Emshoff continues to battle with two strikes. Kale tied the game up initially in the third inning with a two-out RBI single. He struck out in the first. This ball's hammered to left field. Caballero turns, looks. He's at the wall. He runs out of room. Back-to-back jacks for Quad Cities. Brett Squires and Kale Emshoff have given Quad Cities a 5-1 lead. The River Bandits and their back-to-back homers. That's the second time they've gone back-to-back this series.
Coming to the plate, Justin Dixon.
was a towering fly ball to left field, and once again, a two-strike homer for Quad Cities. Emshoff battled to a seven-pitch boom. Now here's Dustin Dickerson taking a called strike. And Emshoff and Squires responsible for all five Bandits runs today. This one outside, 1-1 on Dusty. Dickerson with two baseballs hit to almost the exact same spot in his first and second at-bats, but they both wound up caught by DeLeo in right field. This pitch outside, it's 2-1. That is the first homer given up this year by Jared Poland. The pitch, a bit low, 3-1. That was an issue for him in 2023. He made 22 total starts between Single-A Jupiter and Beloit, and he gave up 20 homers. The pitch. That's a called strike. Dickerson thought it was ball four. He tossed the lumber aside, but now awkwardly has to pick it back up and step into the box. Bandits up 5-1 with help from this three-run fifth inning. They've gotten homers from Squires and Emshoff. Payoff pitch to Dickerson. Fly ball again to right field, and again playable for DeLeo. He makes the catch, and the frame is over. Back-to-back jacks for the River Bandits, and they go consecutive long balls for the second time in this series. 5-1 QC, halfway home on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Watch me now!
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Squires and Cale Emshoff have accounted for all five of the River Bandits runs today, and those two go back to back in the last half inning. Consecutive home runs to give the Bandits a 5-1 lead. Henry Williams back out there for the fifth. He starts the frame against Chase Luttrell and misses with the first pitch, ball one. 9-1-2. Due up for the Sky Carp. Williams has given up just one unearned run today. The pitch. That's lifted left center field. Into the alley goes Rockefeller on a sprint. He reaches up and can't make the catch. And that ball bounces off the warning track and over the wall. It's going to be a ground rule double. Man, Rockefeller was flying across the turf trying to get to it, but it was just out of his reach. He hit the ground after leaning out to make the catch and then slid across the track into the wall, but he's okay. That's going to be the second hit of the ball game for Luttrell. And he now has doubles in back-to-back games. So now a little extra base pop from Beloit as Yidi Cafe steps in and takes a strike right down the middle. A rare instance where the Marlins' number seven prospect is not swinging at the first pitch. Williams gets the sign from Jetson. Now he deals. Ground ball towards short, slowly hit. Dickerson's got it with the glove. Throw to first in time. Up to third goes Latrell. So a productive out for Cap Bay. He's 0 for 3 today, but that moves the man up 90 feet. And will make things a little bit easier for Jake Thompson. Not really someone you need to make life easier for. He seems to get it done by himself. But Williams has had his number today. Left-handed bat is 0 for 2. First pitch. Fastball just above the top of the zone. Williams now at 63 pitches. Nobody tossing in the Bandits' pen. Henry's season high in total pitches. 78. That was in his first start of the year. Back in early April. 1-0. Slider just off the plate and maybe a touch low. It's 2 balls, no strikes on Thompson. The Bandits are up 5-1 in the bottom of the fifth inning, looking to snap a 3-game losing streak. So far, that's the longest of their season. Here comes the 2-0. Big curveball drops at the base of the zone, a called strike at 79. He hasn't thrown a ton of that curveball today, but I think he's mixed it in well enough. Kind of throws the timing off the hitter at the plate. The pitch. This time a slider drops in. A called strike two. Williams leaned a lot on his fastball. First time through the order. And now beginning his third time through. A lot more off speed. He goes curveball, slider back to Thompson to get back into the count. Let's see what he goes to here. 2-2 pitch delivered. It's a fastball around the knees, and Thompson punches it foul to the left side. It rolls down the stairs into the back end of Quad City's dugout. Thompson with a strikeout and a pop-up today. Lots of room on that left side. With the Bandit shifted to right, and the third baseman Pineda more or less holding the runner. Another 2-2 from Williams. Punched foul off the first base dugout. Quad City's starting to get the bullpen active. Looks like Omar Hernandez has put some gear on. He'll have the bullpen duties today with both Emshoff and Jensen in the lineup. Another 2-2. Henry deals. Thompson reaches out across the plate and fouls it into the third base seating. And when I say he reached, I mean he reached. Looked like me at the putt-putt course trying to fish my ball out of the lake. 70th pitch for Williams. Again, Thompson reaches all the way out and golfs it over the third base side. I don't know how he is making contact with these. That is so far low and away. But clearly, Williams has him against the ropes. Eighth pitch of the at-bat. Another foul ball. That is five straight. Make that four straight foul balls. After Williams worked the count back to 2-2. Here comes again. Curveball was left up. Couldn't snap it. And the count runs full. Pesky, pesky at-bat from Jake Thompson. He is not an easy out. He has most certainly proved that this series. Runner at third, one away. The payoff pitch. In the dirt, knocked down by Jensen. Latrell stays at third base, and Thompson gets a well-deserved walk. A 10-pitch free pass issued after five consecutive foul balls. And now Derek Lewis is on his way out to the hill. That's the River Bandits pitching coach. Down in the bullpen, it looks like southpaw A.J. Block is beginning to get loose. By the way, we got to give you the final line for Ike Buxton. The Sky Carp starter went 4 2/3 today, gave up 4 runs, all earned, on 5 hits, including a homer, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. It was the first of the back-to-back Bandits blasts, which forced his exodus. It was the 2-run jack by Squires that went off the batter's eye in center field. Then Jared Poland came in, gave up a home run to Kale Emshoff, and then got Dustin Dickerson to fly out and end the inning. So Williams remains in the game. Runners at first and third with one out. He'll go right on right against Josh Zamora. Williams' pitch. Check swing. He didn't go, and the slider is left low for ball one. Top third of the Skycarp order does not have a hit today. Thompson's walk marks the first time they've even reached the pitch. High, Zamora leans out of the way. It was also inside, 2-0. This is almost assuredly going to be the last inning of work for Williams, but you'd love to get him through five innings to have a shot at his second win of the year. 2-0. There's the slider. Ooh, it missed somewhere. Lower inside, I'm not sure. Ryan Powers asking for confirmation from Glenn Meyerhofer. Thompson held on at first by Squires. The pitch. Inside, he walked him. A four-pitch walk delivered to Zamora. And now the Bandits may have to force the issue here with the pitching change. I should say the Skycart may have forced the issue. But he's going to stay out there. And it looks like it's Chris Corbett who's standing at the top of the stairs, like Brooks Conrad would be as the skipper. So perhaps he has the lineup card right now. I'm not 100% sure. Bases juiced, one out for Jake DeLeo. He represents the tying run. First pitch swing, and he chases low and away. Strike one. Billy Gardner Jr. looking a little exasperated in that third base coach's box. Williams had just issued four straight out of the zone, and DeLeo chased one that wasn't even close. Cleanup man is 0 for 2 today. The pitch. Fastball just low and outside. Williams getting close, but he can't quite find the zone in this third trip through the order. He is now over 80 pitches for the first time this season. The former Duke Blue Devil with the 1-1. Another swing and a miss from DeLeo. That slider low and away, but right on right, it's causing fits. DeLeo, a sixth round pick by the Marlins last year in his first season in high A. Williams trying to get him for a third time. The pitch. Got him swinging. Strike three. Massive punch out for Henry Williams. Two gone. That was his first strikeout in over two innings. It couldn't have come at a more opportune time. So with the Bandits still in front 5-1, Williams is seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. But still, Torin Montgomery in the way. Bases juiced, two outs. First pitch, low, and it gets away from Jensen, who thought it went past him, but it's still next to home plate. And he comes back and gets it. This is the final boss, so to speak, for Williams. Montgomery is 2 for 2 against him with a single and a double. Henry, though, needs to retire him here to complete a five-inning start and remain in line for the win. The pitch. Inside, brushes Montgomery off the plate, 2-0. Henry taking a couple of deep breaths. He's removed his glove and has it pinned under his throwing arm. He rubs up the baseball and now puts the mitt back on his left hand. Carter Jensen issues the sign. 2-0 to Montgomery. Low with the slider. And now it's 3-0, and no place to put the Skycarp first baseman. Whether cautious by design or just not hitting his spots, Montgomery's in the driver's seat. Jensen pounds the front of his chest protector, saying, "Let's do this." He sets up the target. 3-0. Fastball at the knees, a called strike. Jensen helped frame it for Glenn Meyerhofer. Latrell at third, Thompson at second, Zamora at first base. Montgomery represents the tying run. The pitch. Inside, he walked him, and that's going to make it a 5-2 ball game. An RBI for Montgomery. So the old bases loaded walk. One of those things you hate to see, but it's a reality especially in minor league baseball. And now Chris Corbett is on his way out to the hill. He is going to make the pitching change. He points down to A.J. Block, and the lefty will be responsible for putting an end to this fifth inning. Sky Carp will have Johnny Olmstead do up with the bases loaded and the tying runs aboard. We'll be right back on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Henry Williams came so close to a five-inning start, but after allowing Torin Montgomery to reach on a bases-loaded walk, Chris Corbett has pulled the trigger on the bullpen. It's the southpaw A.J. Block who will look to get the Bandits out of this sticky situation. They still lead by three. It's 5-2. But Montgomery trims the advantage with his 12th RBI and now passes the torch to Johnny Olmstead, the right-handed hitting shortstop. Block out of the stretch. First pitch, a slider for a called strike. Block, 26 years old from Salt Lake City, Utah. He has been in the Royals system since 2020. He's missed the last two seasons coming back from a shoulder injury. A one. Just outside, 1-1. Tommy John surgery for Block at the end of 2022 costing him all of last season. He's technically been on the Bandits roster on the IL the last few years. 1-1. Fastball just outside. This is a rare situation for Quad Cities this week. Despite the fact they've lost three in a row, the Bandits pitching staff has a whip under one and an opponent batting average of 165 this week. Those two marks the best in high A during the series. 2-1. Called strike, a fastball at the top of the zone. It's 2-2. Seldom have the Sky Carp had multiple runners aboard, much less the bases juiced. But now one of the Bandits' more reliable options, A.J. Block, one strike away. 2-2. Just fouled off. Olmstead way out in front of a slider. But he knocks it down right behind home. Today marks the sixth appearance of the year for Block, the former Washington State hurler, 1-0 with an even 3 ERA. He's only given up runs in one of his five previous appearances, and he's got 12 strikeouts in 9 innings. Olmstead waves the bat out in front of him, and now Block is going to step off the back of the slab and get a new sign from Jensen. Olmstead reached on a fielder's choice and scored a run in the second, and then was hit by a pitch in the fourth, but was left aboard. Williams right now responsible for just 2 runs, 1 earned, but also all 3 Sky Carp on the base paths. 2-2, fouled into the screen. Olmstead stays alive. Got a fastball in on the hands at an even 90. Block leans heavily on the fastball and the slider combo. Left on left, it's lethal. But this lineup of Sky Carp, full of righties. Olmstead, one of them. Another 2-2. The slider's taken low, and the count goes full. Man, the Sky Carp have put together some of their best at-bats of the series over these last couple innings. have made life challenging with two strikes. Runners will get a head start. Full count, two away. The payoff is high. He walked him. That makes it a 5-3 Bandits lead. Olmstead picks up his first RBI of the ball game. That is a 4-walk inning for Quad Cities, and two of them have come with the bases juiced. So Thompson scores. Zamora moves to third. Montgomery to second. And Olmstead to first after the get-out-of-jail-free card. Now a right-handed hitting Jorge Caballero. First pitch. Sliders dropped right down the middle for strike one. For Olmstead, that's his sixth walk in 18 games this year. And his fifth run batted in. 0-1 delivery. Another slider, just low and outside. Block was a huge piece to the Bandits' 2021 championship run. Worked as a starter then, but now a reliever in the Quad Cities pen, at least for the foreseeable future. 1-1. Slider hit in the air, right field shallow. Sprinting in Ramirez, still coming on. He adjusts and makes the catch. He looked like he was going to drop it. And he somehow hangs on to end the inning. The thing's a little bit dicey for Quad Cities in the fifth, but they remain in front. Their advantage trimmed to two. 5-3 Bandits, we go to the sixth on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together. Close the book on the Bandits starter Henry Williams, who came an out shy of a 5-frame start, but he needed some help from A.J. Block to finish off that fifth inning. Williams goes 4 2/3 in his fourth start of the year, gave up 3 runs, 2 earned, on 5 hits, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts. His last act was walking Torin Montgomery with the bases loaded. Jack Pineda leads off the top of the sixth of the Bandits and takes a called strike from Jared Poland. Williams walked Montgomery to make it a 5-2 game, and then A.J. Block came in and walked Olmstead. 0-1, swing and a miss, nothing in two. But after a walk of Olmstead, he got Caballero to fly out to right field and strand him loaded, but not before the Sky Carp brought 8 men to the plate and trimmed the Bandits' lead to 2. 0-2 to Jack. Breaking ball just high. 1-2. Jared Poland also struggled against his first batter out of the bullpen. He gave up a solo homer to Kale Emshoff an inning ago. 1-2, chopped on the ground, back up the middle. Gloved behind second by Olmstead. Throw to first in time. One down. That homer for Emshoff, the second of back-to-back jacks for Quad Cities. Emshoff and Brett Squires leaving the yard. They have all 5 of the Bandits' RBIs today. From Emshoff's spot down, or everyone after Emshoff, I should say, has not reached base today, including Justin Johnson, who takes low and outside for ball one. The 5 through 9 spots, 0 for 12 for Quad Cities as JJ swings through a breaking ball. A big curve from Poland. It's 1-1. Jared, 6 feet, 215 pounds, 24 years old from Indianapolis. The pitch. Fastball, a called strike, top of the zone. 1-2. Johnson dribbled out to the pitcher back in the second. Struck out swinging against Ike Buxton in the fourth, and now time has been called. And a whole plethora of Skycarb staff are on their way out to the hill. They don't like what they saw from Jared Poland. And now Poland lifting up his sleeve, pointing to his shoulder. And you just absolutely hate to see that. Oh, jeez. So Poland's going to depart from the game. We wish him all the best. Hiroki Yoshimoto, the Skycarb trainer, walking with him into the first base dugout. But he immediately pointed to his shoulder, nodded his head, and now is going to be removed from the game. So we'll pause for a pitching change. The Skycarb are going to have to identify somebody in the bullpen to come pitch. They've got a man, and it looks like it will be a right-hander. We'll tell you about it when we come back. Best wishes to Jared Poland. We're in the top of the sixth at ABC Supply Stadium. It's 5-3 Quad Cities.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Pitcher for Beloit will be right-hander Yuri Jimenez, who will get all the time he needs to warm up. He had to come in after Jared Poland sustained an apparent arm injury and just left the ballgame after just two-thirds of relief. Gives up a run on one hit with no walks and no strikeouts. While Jimenez continues to toss, let's update you on the only other game going on in the Midwest League this afternoon, and it's in Wisconsin, where the Rattlers lead the Great Lakes Loons 6-0. They're in the bottom of the sixth at Fox City Stadium. If Wisconsin wins and the Bandits win, they will remain tied atop the Western Division at 17-9. If Quad Cities wins and Wisconsin somehow loses this game, the Bandits will move up ahead a game and take sole possession of first place in the division. But regardless of what happens, the Great Lakes Loons will, at the very least, share the best record in the Midwest League. In the Eastern Division, they are three games above second place Lake County at 17-8. The Bandits will see, obviously, Wisconsin a couple of times this year. They're an interdivision foe. But they will also see Great Lakes during the Bandits' second two-week road trip of the year in June. And that, as it looks right now, is going to be one of the more interesting series of the season. Bandits at home next week will welcome in the Timber Rattlers, so you'll get to see the two top teams in the Western Division at Modern Woodmont Park starting next Tuesday. Yuris Jimenez is ready to work in the top of the sixth. One out, base is empty. The at-bat continues with Justin Johnson. And the 1-2 curveball is low and away. Two balls, two strikes. Jimenez out of the stretch. The big, tall right-hander fires. Johnson chased the breaking ball low and away. Tried to hold up, but to no avail. He's down on strikes for the second time. So a K in the books for Jimenez. Right-hander, 6'3", 218 pounds, 23 years old, out of Santiago in the Dominican Republic. And now here is Gene Ramirez. Gene, a DR native himself from Mao. In open stance in the left-handed box, he'll take the first pitch up and in. This is the first time the Bandits are seeing Jimenez this season. Today marks his sixth appearance of the year, and he has struggled. 10 earned runs allowed in his first 6 2/3. 1-0 is hammered in the air, deep right center field, but that's going to be playable for Latrell. He makes the catch on the move and ends the inning. So good work from Jimenez coming in with little notice. And that'll do it for the Bandits in the sixth. Quad City still in front, 5-3. We'll be right back on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Ready to begin the home half of the sixth at ABC Supply Stadium. Kyle Kirchville with you on an overcast afternoon in southern Wisconsin. Wind still blowing out to center field, but nothing all that crazy. Although it definitely helps you if you put the ball in the air. Still in the mid-70s temperature-wise, it's turned into a very nice day for baseball as Fernandez will lead off the inning against A.J. Block and send the first pitch to right center field. The Skycarp catcher is going to fly out F8, trying to ambush the lefty. Fernandez with a homer earlier this week, but 0-for-3 to start today. And A.J. Block has now got back-to-back outs. Came in with two gone in the fifth. Gave up a bases-loaded walk to give the Skycarp their third and latest run, but nothing but outs since then. Now left on left against Latrell. First pitch hit him on the elbow. Fortunately, Latrell's got a guard on there, and it looks like it wore most of the contact. So he'll trot down to first. That is, for Block, his second hit batsman of the year. And Latrell just continues to find ways to reach at the bottom of the order. He's now 2-for-2 with a single, a double, and the hit by pitch. Tying run at the plate in Yidi Capé. He takes outside. Bandits on top 5-3 in game 5 of this series. They need wins today and tomorrow to split the 6-game set. Capé is hitless atop the order. Block deals. Slider outside and off the glove of Jensen. Latrell's going to move up to second base. What is a surefire wild pitch. That is second wild pitch of the season for Block, his first since April 12th. AJ's been good for two innings pretty much every time he's gone out there this year. The only time he didn't complete two innings was last week against South Bend, but by design. 2-0. There's a slider for strike one. Through a scoreless outing against the Cubs at Four Winds Field, worked around a walk and struck out two. 2-1 pitch. Slider right there again at the knees. Two balls, two strikes. Cappe with a 264 average, a 701 OPS as he asks for time. Three doubles, a triple, two homers, and 12 driven in. Also a team-high four stolen bases, but the Bandits have kept him pretty quiet this week. The 2-2. Grounder fell in front of Billy Gardner Jr. in the third base coach's box. You know how most coaches stand behind the box? Well, Billy is in front of it, and like 3 or 4 feet in front of the box. He is extremely close. He doesn't have much reaction time if somebody were to hit it his direction. But because he's so close, the angle, I guess, maybe a little bit safer. I don't know. I barely got through geometry. I'm going to trust that Billy, who's got like 40 years of managerial experience, knows better than I do. 2-2. Foul ball back into the screen. Count holds. Billy, another just terrific manager in the Midwest League. Just a baseball lifer that you can always have a good conversation with. Cappe battling. 2-2. That's high. Full count. The River Bandits manager, Brooks Conrad, was ejected earlier this ball game. He was arguing a fair foul call, and he's been in the clubhouse for the last few innings. 3-2. That's low. Ball four and a walk for Cappe. So Block is uncharacteristically kind of cautiously worked around the zone, as now he's going to get a visit from Derek Lewis. AJ, usually a pretty good strike thrower, but in just two-thirds today, he's walked three and thrown a wild pitch. So that puts runners at first and second for the Sky Carp. The tying run's on, and the go-ahead run in the form of Jake Thompson at the plate. He is not the guy you want in this scenario. Now, with Block out there, the Bandits can go left on left against him, which helps out a bit, but Thompson has been a pain in the neck this series. He's 0 for 2 today with a walk and a run scored in the fifth inning, but his hit streak has yet to be extended, and it sits at 10. Bandits up 5-3 in the bottom of the sixth. They're out hitting the Sky Carp 6-5, and they have the game's only error. DeLu back in the dugout. We continue on. Block's first pitch. Slider right down the middle, strike one. So more often than not, Block has gone first pitch slider and kind of pitched backwards. But when he's gotten into a couple of two-strike counts, he hasn't gotten a strikeout yet. The pitch. Wave and a miss. Another slider got him chasing. It's 0-2. Thompson with six strikeouts in his first 42 at-bats. As time is called, he'll adjust the batting gloves. Shortstop Dickerson holding the lead. Runner Latrell at second base. 0-2. Got him looking on the fastball. A four-seamer painted on the outside black. Two away. Three straight sliders and then a fastball. Cheeky stuff from A.J. Block. So a big second out. And now the second baseman, Josh Zamora, a right-handed hitter. Block looks to second. First pitch, a slider in. It's not held on to by Jensen. I don't think it mattered. 1-0. Quad Cities with five unanswered runs until the Sky Carp half of the fifth inning. They got those two bases-loaded walks. The pitch. Fastball called strike, inner half. Their only RBI hit was in the second inning, a two-out knock from Jorge Caballero against Henry Williams, the Bandits starter. Gave up three runs today, but just two earned. The pitch. wave and a miss. Good breaking ball from Block. And he's now ahead. One ball, two strikes. Zamora's going to use his timeout and circumnavigate the home plate area. Two runners on. A 1-2 count against Zamora. Block looks to second. Now the pitch. In the dirt. Good stop by Jensen. Both runners hold. That was perfectly played off the dirt. Jensen with the inside of the glove facing Block as he absorbed the contact in the mitt and had the chest right behind it as the backboard. Thirtieth pitch of the game for Block. 1-2. That's high. Correction, it was a 2-2 pitch. Now a full count. And with runners at first and second and two away, they will get a head start. Any kind of base hit likely gives them one and perhaps a tie game if it goes for extra bases. Block sets. Jensen sets up away. 3-2. Got him! Strike three! A little slider action on the outside edge. And A.J. Block picks up back-to-back strikeouts to strand the tying runners aboard. Clutch stuff from A.J. Bandits remain on top 5-3 as we go to the seventh on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931. But it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Welcome you back to ABC Supply Stadium as we start the final third of this afternoon's ball game. Quad Cities leads Beloit 5-3. Top of the seventh coming your way with Davies Nadal leading off for the Bandits against right-hander Yuris Jimenez. First pitch, fastball there for a called strike one. We took a trip around the Midwest League scoreboard not too long ago. Again, just one game going on currently, but still more to come tonight. The pitch. Fastball away. We'll also give you a look at what's coming up in the Kansas City Royals farm system. 1-1 to Davies. He squares to bunt. And did he pull back? The appeal down. He did. Not sure how Nadal got the barrel back in time, but he's ahead in the count 3-1. Correction, 2-1. Hitless in the nine spot this afternoon. He'll take the next pitch high, and now it's 3-1. There is a game currently happening amongst the Royals' full-season affiliates. It's AAA Omaha who just started up against the I-Cubs. 3-1, yanked foul down the first baseline. Storm Chasers at 17-11 over in Des Moines. And the top of the first there, obviously scoreless. They just started. At the AA level, Northwest Arkansas continues its series against Wichita at 6:05 Central. They're over at Arvest Ballpark. 3-2. One hopper to second. It's off of Zamora, who recovers in shallow right and throws to first in time for the out. Really nice work from Josh Zamora. Took the one hopping line drive right off the breadbasket. Knocked it down to a point where it just sort of dribbled behind him. He took about a half step back, picked it up off the turf, and still had time to get the Speedy Nadal. So one down, nobody on for Carson Rockefort, the leadoff man. He takes outside. By the way, Northwest Arkansas, 12-12, trying to get over 500 with the win today to make it so that every Royals affiliate has a plus 500 record. Rockefort takes a slider on the edge. It's 1-1. And then for the single-A affiliate, the Fireflies, they start in less than an hour over in Carolina. The pitch. Breaking ball missed away. 2-1. Rockefort is 1-for-3 today. Picked up his 6th double of the year in the third and came in to score the Bandits' first run of the game. He swings away 2-1, fouls off the catcher Fernandez. 2 balls and 2 strikes. Jimenez had to come into the game with 1 out in the 6th when Jared Poland left with an arm injury. Jimenez struck out Johnson and got Ramirez to fly out to right center field. He's trying to make it 4 in a row now facing Rockefort. 2-2, foul ball and a tip held on to by the catcher Fernandez. That's strike 3. Second K for Jimenez, 2nd for Rockefort, who doesn't look all that happy with himself as he goes back into the third base dugout. 5-3 lead for the Bandits in the top of the 7th. There are 2 outs, and the base is empty for Carter Jensen, who had a double as well earlier. First pitch low. Jensen 1-for-2 with a walk and the two-bagger. He came in to score on Brett Squires' 2-run shot. Brett waiting on deck. The pitch from Jimenez. Wave and a miss. Good off speed. 1-1. Uriese trying to turn around his season. In his last outing against Cedar Rapids on the 27th, he pitched just 1 inning of relief and gave up 5 runs. 3 of those earned. The pitch. Off the end of the bat. Tardy with the heat. It's fouled over the left side. 1-2. Right now, Jimenez's ERA is 13.5. His whip 2.70, and teams are hitting 425 against him, but he's retired the first 4 batters he's faced today. Jensen asks for a time. He's got something in his eye. He's still trying to kind of wipe it clear, but now he steps back into the box. Jimenez looking for a 1-2-3 frame. The pitch. Got him swinging. What a beautiful slider. A dominant frame from Yuris Jimenez. Bandits go down quickly and quietly in their half of the 7th. And we go to stretch it out here at ABC Supply Stadium. 5-3 Bandits on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Mauer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Yeah.
bottom of the seventh at ABC Supply Stadium. Quad City's up 5-3. They'll turn to the bullpen for the second time in the game and come back with another lefty. This time it's Cooper McKeon, who makes his seventh appearance of the year. McKeon 1-2 with a 9.95 ERA. That's seven earned runs allowed in his first 6 1/3, but he has not given up an earned run in his last two relief appearances. He'll start out his day against Jake DeLeo, offering him a slider well above the zone, 1-0. He takes over for A.J. Block. Southpaw went an inning and a third scoreless. Worked around a couple of walks. The pitch. Swing and a miss. He gave up an inherited run to score. That was the bases loaded walk to Johnny Olmstead, the first batter he faced, charging Henry Williams with his second and final earned run. 1-1. A bit up and away. 2-1. Last time we saw McKeon, he put together his best outing of the year. He walked three South Bend Cubs over at Four Winds Field on April 28th, but didn't allow a run and didn't allow a hit. Also struck out a man. 2-1. Swing and a miss. Two balls, two strikes. The 4, 5, and 6 hitters will bat for the Sky Carp in this inning. DeLeo, the only one of those three not to reach base. He is 0-3 with a pair of strikeouts and now asks for time right next to the right-handed batter's box. Take a deep breath and then put both hands on the red bat grip. McKeon sets at the belt. 2-2 pitch. Got him swinging. What a curveball. That was one of the better breaking pitches we've seen from the young Southpaw this year. And that is a great start to the game for him. So a K of DeLeo, and now he'll go left on right against Torin Montgomery. He has been a problem for the Bandits today. 2-2 with the aforementioned bases-loaded walk against Block. McKeon delivers. First pitch slider right there for strike one. Cooper now in his second season with Quad Cities, although most of his time last year was spent in Columbia. He is 23 years old, 6'2", 200 pounds. Another breaking pitch to Montgomery, but that one's left outside. 1-1. We're in the bottom of the seventh in Beloit. Bandits up 5-3. They're trying to snap what is a season-long for them, three-game losing streak. Here's the pitch. Curveball fouled over my head. It doinks around the facade or something above me and then drops somewhere. 1-2. McKeon trying to be the first River Bandit to figure out Torin Montgomery today. The pitch. Got him swinging. He gets DeLeo with the curveball and then turns back to the old number one to get Montgomery. 93 miles per hour for the former BYU Cougar. So back-to-back strikeouts out of the bullpen. And now McKeon faces Johnny Olmstead. No hits for him, but he was hit by a pitch and worked a bases-loaded walk. First pitch. Curveball in for strike one. McKeon looks confident out there. Got that first strikeout under his belt, and now he's moving with some conviction. Out of the stretch from the third base side of the rubber, the 0-1. Back to the curveball and back into the strike zone. It just graces the outside edge of the square, and now Olmstead is down 0-2 and asking for his timeout. Sky Carp have a man up in the bullpen. Yuris Jimenez just dazzled through an inning and 2/3 perfect, plus three strikeouts. 0-2. Bouncing ball back over McKeon. Snagged behind the second base bag by Johnson, and he throws to first in time for the out. Really good start to the game for Cooper McKeon. Sky Carp go 3 up, 3 down in their half of the seventh. 5-3 Bandits. We'll be right back on the River Bandits Baseball Network. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodmen Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Kyle Krieger, the new pitcher for the Beloit Sky Carp. He takes over in the top of the eighth, trying to keep the Sky Carp deficit at two. Bandits up 5-3. And although they have not scored since the fifth inning, neither have the Sky Carp. Bandits bullpen combo of A.J. Block and Cooper McKeon have thrown out a scoreless 2 1/3 with a few strikeouts. Offensively, the Bandits get Squires, Emshoff, and Dickerson here in the eighth. The first two of those names responsible for all five River Bandits runs. First pitch from Krieger, swing and a miss, strike one. Squires 2-for-2 with an RBI double and a two-run homer, both coming with two strikes and two outs. A one pitch. Line drive, right field, it's going to drop in front of DeLeo. He chases it near the line and fires it back in. Squires with a three-hit ball game. Brett got the night off a couple of days ago. Yesterday went 0-for-4 with three strikeouts. And now looks like he's back to his usual self. So that is a good start to the frame against Krieger, who the Bandits are seeing for the second time this week. Right on right against Emshoff. He pours in a slider for strike one. He pitched on Wednesday. Gave up a season high two earned in an inning and a third. The pitch. Low and away. Again, the slider. The two runs Krieger allowed were thanks to Jared Dickey, who launched a two-run homer for his fourth of the year. 1-1. Fastball up and away. Emshoff is 2-for-3. An RBI single in the third, and then the second of the back-to-back homers in the fifth. Squires away from first, held by Montgomery. The pitch is in the air, right field, charging DeLeo. He will be able to get to this one. He makes the catch. Squires retreats after the first out. So one away and a man at first for Dusty. Dickerson, the 23-year-old infielder out of Laurel, Mississippi. He looks down to the third base coach's box where Christopher Corbett issues some signals. He's in the box as Krieger's first pitch is lined into center field, a base hit. It two hops into the glove of Latrell, and the Bandits have a couple of singles against Krieger here in the eighth. That snaps a string of three straight flyouts to right field for Dickerson. Finally gets one of those to drop before the Sky Carp outfield gets its hands on it. So two on, one out for Jack Pineda. Quad Cities with five runs on eight hits in this game. That is getting close to their best output of the series, which was on Tuesday when the Bandits scored 6 runs on 7 hits in a shutout victory. And now a balk, I believe, has been charged on Kyle Krieger. Home plate umpire Glenn Meyerhofer telling Squires and Dickerson to move up. And that's only going to help the Bandits ensure this 2-run lead. So the infield has to come in for Beloit. And Jack Pineda at the plate looks to snap an 0-for-3. First pitch swing and he comes up empty on the slider. That is the second balk we've seen in this series. The pitch. Wave and a miss. Good slider. 0-2. Krieger is 23 years old from Germantown, Tennessee. Pineda asks for time. Marlins took him in the 7th round of the 2022 draft out of Louisiana Tech over in Ruston. This season marks his 2nd with Miami's High A affiliate. 0-2 to Pineda. Fastball ran a bit inside. 1-2. Jack 0-for-3 in the game with a strikeout. That hit for Dickerson, the first for any Bandit hitting in the 5 spot down. Everyone else has yet to reach today. The pitch skips in the dirt. Big stop by Fernandez. Everybody holds up. Quad City's got some of those big hits that were so elusive in their previous 2 games. With the knocks from Squires and Emschoff in the 3rd, they could use 1 more big hit late to advance their lead a little bit further. 2-2. Got him swinging on the fastball. First strikeout for Kyle Krieger and the 2nd out in the inning. And now it'll be up to Justin Johnson with 2 outs. Now the Bandits with runners in scoring position in 2 away this season are hitting just .132. Johnson with 2 strikeouts to his name as Krieger starts him with a called strike on the heater. Last year with Beloit, Krieger worked 33 times out of the bullpen, posted a .459 ERA. Started that season in Jupiter. The pitch. Fastball, called strike, upper outside corner, nothing in 2. Johnson made his full season minor league debut with Quad Cities last year, played in just a handful of games for the Bandits to round out the year. 0-2 pitch. High and away with the slider. Brett Squires singled to lead off the inning. Eventually got up to 3rd on a balk. Dickerson picked up a 1-out single. He stands at 2nd. A base hit here for Quad Cities would be huge. 1-2. Punched foul down the right field line. Jared Dickey still filling in at first base coach with Brooks Conrad having been ejected earlier in the game. Usual first base coach Chris Corbett switched to the other side of the diamond and is now giving some signals to Dustin Dickerson. Time has been called as the pitcher Krieger behind the mound now walking his way back up the hill. He peers into home for the sign for from Fernandez. 1-2. Line drive up the middle past Zamora. 2 runs are going to score. And once again, Quad Cities comes through with 2 strikes and 2 outs. It is 7-3 River Bandits. Justin Johnson stuck out the head of the bat and just got it past Zamora. Huge swing for Quad Cities. RBIs number 4 and 5 for the Bandits second baseman. So now a 4-run lead as Gene Ramirez steps in. Man at first. First pitch outside. And not only has Quad Cities been able to get some of these big hits, they're doing it throughout the duration of the game. 1-0, grounded foul back behind home. Bandits with 2 runs in the 3rd, 3 runs in the 5th, and now 2 in the 8th. uncommon for the Bandits this year to kind of stall out offensively. The pitch. Swing and a miss. 1-2 on the changeup. It's now a little more cushion for those bullpen arms over the next six outs. Cooper McKeon just threw a perfect seventh as Ramirez asks for time. Looks like he'll be back out there for the eighth. Nobody throwing in the Bandits bullpen. Krieger's given up two runs on three hits in this inning. His 1-2 to Gene is bounced up the middle. The shortstop fields. Olmstead sprints to the second base bag and just beats Johnson to end the inning. A rare six unassisted. Quad Cities, though, with a two-run frame. It's 7-3 Bandits on a two-run knock from JJ. We'll be right back on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Quad Cities gets two key insurance runs in the top of the eighth inning. Justin Johnson comes through with two outs and drives in a pair, making it 7-3 Quad Cities. Bandits are six outs away from snapping a three-game skid. Cooper McKeon, the third man to pitch for the Bandits today, the second out of the bullpen, will get the bottom third of the order for Beloit, beginning with Jorge Caballero, the right-handed hitting outfielder. First pitch swing, and he breaks his bat, bloops it to center field, and it's past Johnson and in front of Rockeford for a leadoff single. So it's a two-hit game for Caballero, who opened the scoring in the second with an RBI poke, but since then he'd been held quiet until that knock there. So that's what the Sky Card need here in these late innings. Base runners and a lot of them. One man on. Nobody out for Andrew Fernandez, the catcher. Andrew 0-3 to start the game. McKeon deals. Slider inside. The curveball was working beautifully in that last inning for the Bandits reliever. See how much he turns to it again here. The pitch popped over the screen, out of play. Fernandez played collegiately at Broward College in Fort Lauderdale and St. Thomas University in Miami Gardens. Now with plenty of Florida ties as he lines a ball over Dickerson. No, it's caught by Dickerson, and Caballero retreats to first. Looked like Dustin was just going to watch it go over his head, but that ball had so much topspin on it that it came back down, and Dustin made an easy catch. Just had me fooled up here in the booth. I had the perfect angle to be fooled on such a swing. So one out, one man on for Chase Luttrell, the nine-hole hitter, who has been one of the toughest outs today. 2-for-2 with a single, a double, and a hit by pitch. McKeon starts him curveball, and it's at the top of the zone for strike one. Brandon Johnson getting loose for the River Bandits. He's become one of the team's closers this year. McKeon looks to first base. The pitch. Curveball rocketed deep right field. Ramirez looks up. It's going to leave the yard. A two-run homer for Chase Luttrell. And that man is just a triple shy of the cycle today. Homer number three, RBIs 7 and 6. And it doesn't seem to matter who is on the bump for the Bandits. He finds a way to do damage. So that makes things once again just 2 runs worth of difference. Bandits lead cut down to 7-5 on Skycarp's first homer of the game. So base is empty for Yidi Capé, who's going to two-hop one to second. Another aggressive swing for him, and it winds up being an 0-for-4 day for him, at least for now. Two outs. For McKeon, that is the second home run he's allowed this year. His first in a few outings. Now he'll get a left-on-left matchup against Jake Thompson, who's also been quiet today. First pitch fastball on the edge, strike one. Now McKeon last year gave up just 4 total homers in over 63 innings. The pitch. Hit him. Square on the caboose. And that's going to keep the inning going. So that'll help the on-base percentage a bit for Thompson, but his 10-game hit streak looks like it may be coming to an end should the Bandits close out this game in 9. And now it looks like Chris Corbett's going to make a move. With McKeon struggling to get this last out, it's going to be Brandon Johnson who will be asked to perform, but right now looks to be a 4-out save. It's a 2-run game at ABC Supply Stadium. Skycarp keeping it close. 7-5 River Bandits.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Save. Chris Corbett's going to turn to one of the best relievers in the Midwest League to open the season. It is the right-hander and former Ole Miss product, Brandon Johnson. Quad Cities leads 7-5 in the bottom of the 8th inning. Cooper McKeon just gave up a 2-run homer to Chase Luttrell, and then after getting Yidi Capé for the second out, hit Jake Thompson with a pitch. So the tying run is at the plate in 3-hole hitter Josh Zamora, who is 0-for-3 with a walk today. But as we talked about earlier, he leads the Skycarp team with 4 homers. Johnson pitches from the third base side of the rubber out of the stretch. First pitch fastball is at the top of the zone for strike one. Johnson, 24 years old from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, the Royals' 9th-round pick in 2022. Thompson away from first, held by Squires. A long pause for BJ, now the pitch. Fastball, again, top of the zone, a called strike two. Johnson pitched earlier this week, a perfect inning on Wednesday. He has now thrown 10 2/3 scoreless in a row. to start the year. 0-2, fouled into the glove of Jensen. It's strike three. How about a three-pitch strikeout for Brandon Johnson? And just like that, the Skycarb rally is shot down. We go to the top of the ninth at ABC Supply Stadium. Bandits once again trying to ensure a two-run lead. 7-5 Quad Cities.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Carp get a couple of runs on a two-run shot in the eighth inning, but it is still the Bandits in front, 7-5 as we start the ninth inning. On the mound for the Sky Carp, it remains number 23, Kyle Krieger. He gave up a two-out, two-strike, two-run knock to Justin Johnson to, at the time, make it a 7-3 Bandits advantage. And now, once again, Quad Cities is at the plate, trying to re-extend a two-run lead. Nadal, Rockeford, Jensen due up. Three straight lefties as the nine-hole hitter turns out of the way of a pitch inside. It's ball one. Davies has been quiet at the plate today. 0-for-3 with a strikeout back in the third. Former Pirates product swings away at a pitch in the dirt. One ball, one strike. Krieger is not enjoyed pitching against Quad Cities this week. He's now totaled 2 1/3 against the Bandits and allowed 5 hits and 4 runs. Nadal squares to bunt and knocks it foul off the catcher Fernandez. It's 1-2. Nadal has got such great speed. If he can start to lay some of those down with the way the defense typically plays against him, which is pulled to right field, he can have a field day with the bunt to the left side. Capé is about halfway between the second and third base bag, basically playing shortstop. No chance he gets to that. 1-2, fouled off the first base dugout. Quad Cities is 16-9 atop the Midwest League West Division, along with the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. A win today gives them a chance to win tomorrow and split this six-game series. The pitch. High fly, deep right. Going back to Leo, at the track, at the wall, he leaps, it's gone! Davies Nadal picks up his first homer as a River Bandit, and it's 8-5. The dugout loved that one. Another two-strike homer for the Bandits. Nadal just 5'9", 155. When he gets a hold of one, the boys love it. That's the third homer of the game for Quad Cities. That is a season high for them. And now here's Carson Rockefort. First pitch, high and away, ball one. Well, kudos to the Bandits tonight. They had been void of the big hit in their last two games, and they're getting some serious ones today as Rocco's going to chop out to the second baseman Zamora, and that's the first out. Well, Bandits leadoff man 1-for-5 with that double. jogs back to the dugout while Carter Jensen gets comfortable in the left-handed batter's box. Bandits now with a series best 8 runs on 10 hits. They were in need of an offensive explosion like this. First pitch. Fastball in, 1-0. Bandits had hit 2 home runs in a game 3 times previously before today, but this is their first time to 3 as Jensen goes to left center field. It's out of the reach of Luttrell. To the wall it goes, and to second base, Carter Jensen with his second double of the game. Quad Cities is just teeing off against Kyle Krieger. Another two-bagger for Jensen. He's got 5 on the year. And now Brett Squires gets another opportunity. He is a triple away from the cycle. The last River Bandits cycle picked up by Nick Lofton back in 2021. And at this ballpark with the turf, the ball will roll. Right-handed batter against right-handed pitcher, rather, against a left-handed batter. Krieger starts him down and away. Nobody warming up in the bullpen for Beloit. Billy Gardner Jr. wants Krieger to get out of this. Here's his 30th pitch. Fastball taken up. It's 2-0. Squires has reached base all 4 times. So if he gets the triple for the cycle, he also has not only all 4 hits, but also a walk. And he is not going to get a shot at it. The Skycarp are intentionally walking him. Come on now. Jared Dickey over in the first base coach's box, pointing up into the sky like he had just hit a homer. He laughs it out with Brett Squires. And with the man at second and 1 out, just giving Squires the free pass allows for no mistakes to be made on Krieger's end and to put the double play in order. Now right on right against Emshoff. The first pitch is outside. It doesn't get much easier going to Kale. He's 2 for 4 with 2 RBIs and a homer of his own today. Fernandez relays the signals. Krieger looks back to second. Now deals a slider on the inner half for a called strike 1. Nobody warming up for the Bandits. It'll be Brandon Johnson in the bottom of the 9th. Looking for what would be his 2nd save of the year. The pitch. Check swing. He went around, clearly chasing outside. 1 ball, 2 strikes. Emshoff now with a 6-game hit streak. During that span, his average well over 300. His average on the year elevated to 292 with his performance today. Here it comes. Wave and a miss, chased in the dirt. And that's exactly the strikeout that Krieger needed. He gets Emshoff chasing that low and away slider. 2nd K for Krieger, and there are 2 gone in the top of the 9th inning. So for the 5th time, the 5-hole hitter, Dustin Dickerson. 1 for 4 with a single back in the 8th inning. He sent the ball to the outfield in all 4 at-bats. First pitch swing, and he comes up empty. Went for that high cheese, but came up empty. 93 out of the hand of Krieger. Bandits up 8-5 in the 9th. 2 men on, 2 out. The pitch. Inside with a changeup. Bandits had been held to just 2 runs over their last 2 games. They've scored 2 runs in 3 different innings tonight. 1-1 inside. 2 balls, 1 strike. Closing in on 4 o'clock Eastern, or excuse me, 4 o'clock Central time. We're in the Eastern time zone in South Bend last week, but now back in the old CT. The pitch. Breaking ball down the middle, a called strike 2. The last 3 games of the series went less than 2 hours and 20 minutes. We're going to be close to 3 hours today. The pitch. Inside. Dickerson leans out of the way. That was right near his hands. So now a full count, and that means Jensen and Squires will get head starts at second and first base. Dickerson ready, Krieger ready, his 40th pitch. on the ground under the glove of Montgomery and past the glove of Zamora into right field. Jensen's going to score from second, and it's 9-5 Quad Cities. Montgomery, the first baseman, tried to backhand it. It got past him. Zamora was there to back it up, and it went past him. We'll see what they rule that one, but all that matters is that Quad Cities has scored four runs in the last two innings against Kyle Krieger, and they're not done yet. Squires stopped at second base on the play.
The third baseman, number seven.
And now Jack Pineda will get an opportunity. So it looks like they're going to rule it a hit based on what they're putting on the video board here at ABC Supply Stadium. And if it is, it's Dickerson's second of the game and his eighth RBI. Pineda could use a hit of his own. He's 0 for 4. First pitch. Called strike on the outer edge. So they are going to give him a hit. Deflection off of Montgomery's glove. Obviously, you couldn't give an error to Zamora, the pitch. Called strike, outer edge, 0-2. Zamora was there trying to help, and the redirection of the baseball probably threw him off. Would have been a really tough play to get the out at first anyways. The pitcher would have had to have been covering. 0-2. In the dirt, Pineda lays off. But Skycar pitchers have had to throw a lot today. The starter Buxton threw 93 to get through 4 2/3. Jared Poland threw 20 before exiting prematurely with an injury. Jimenez and Krieger are combined over 60 as Pineda's down on strikes. He again chased below the zone. The Bandits, though, further ensure that lead. They get an RBI single from Dustin Dickerson, and before that, the first homer of the year from Davies Nadal. That makes it 9-5 Quad Cities. Brandon Johnson back out to the hill, trying to close out the Bandits' second win of the week. This is Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
Nadal and Dustin Dickerson have given Quad Cities a little bit more insurance. It is 9-5 Bandits in the bottom of the ninth inning. Brandon Johnson trying to close it out. He struck out the only man he's faced so far, Josh Zamora, with just three pitches back in the eighth. He now gets DeLeo, Montgomery, and Olmstead. DeLeo swings through a first pitch fastball, strike one. Fans starting to make their way out of the ballpark here at ABC Supply Stadium. Looks like there may be some inclement weather looming. 0-1, check swing fouled back. It also probably doesn't help that Quad Cities again pulled away in the ninth. They lead by four. They have their first three home run game of the year, courtesy of Brett Squires, Cale Emschoff, and Davies Nadal. Squires and Emschoff went back to back in the fifth. Here's the pitch. Wave and a miss. Strike three. Brandon Johnson, six pitches, two strikeouts. and he just continues to dominate his opposition. He's now gone 11 and a third consecutive shutout innings to begin the year. He just passed Beloit's Anderson Pilar for the longest such streak in the Midwest League. First pitch to Torin Montgomery is fouled off. Johnson also now has 24 strikeouts, which leads all Midwest League relievers, and his almost 19 strikeout per nine rate leads all high A relievers who have thrown at least nine innings this year. Truly, he's been one of the best in minor league baseball. 0-1. High fly, but foul over the right side, out of play. So, in an interesting way, Johnson can get the immaculate inning over the course of two frames. 0-2. Foul back to the screen. Darn it. Does it count as an immaculate inning if you do it over the course of two frames? He struck out Zamora on three pitches to end the eighth. Struck out DeLeo on three pitches to start the ninth. And almost struck out Montgomery on three. I have to imagine that counts, right? You can't penalize the pitcher for when he came in. 0-2 again. In the dirt. Couldn't get him to chase. That's one of those things that is even rarer than like a no-hitter. Three strikeouts on nine pitches? And how talented these guys are. It just does not happen all that often. 1-2. Foul ball held on to by Jensen. Strike three. Three straight punchies for Brandon Johnson. He is just putting his foot down here at ABC Supply Stadium. Former closer for Ole Miss back in his college days. He nailed down a College World Series a few years ago. Now trying to nail down the Bandits' second win of the week. First pitch to Olmstead, missed low and away. Just the second ball thrown by PJ. Olmstead hitless, but he's been aboard twice, including a bases-loaded walk in the fifth. Fastball in the air, right field and shallow. Coming on Ramirez, still coming on. He stops, makes the catch, and ends the ball game. Quad Cities finishes with a 9-5 victory, and they snap that three-game losing streak. And I think they just got it in before the weather starting to get a little bit rough. Your River Bandits post-game show is coming up next. The Bandits now 17-9 on the season and with a chance to split the six-game series tomorrow afternoon. One more time, your final, River Bandits 9, Sky Carp 5. This has been Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Welcome back in to ABC Supply Stadium in Beloit, Wisconsin. Quad Cities with a 9-5 victory this afternoon, and it looks to be just in the nick of time. Right as the ball game ended, the SkyCarp staff sprinted out onto the field and started pulling the tarp. And right as they started doing so, the heavens opened. It is pouring right now. The wind is howling and making this quite a task for the Beloit grounds crew as they try to throw this on in time. So while that's happening in the background, we will give you the lowdown on today's Bandits win. It snaps a three-game losing skid, giving Quad Cities its second dub of the week. They'll have a chance tomorrow afternoon to split the six-game series with another win. Here's how the line score looked for the River Bandits. 9 runs, 12 hits, 1 error. They go 5 for 11 with runners in scoring position. That's 5 more hits with runners in scoring position than they had in their last 3 games combined. They leave 6 men on base. For the SkyCarp, 5 runs, 7 hits, no errors, 1 for 10 with runners in scoring position, and they strand 10. The winning pitcher for Quad Cities is A.J. Block. He's now 2-0 on the year, throwing an inning and a third scoreless with no hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. He took over for the Bandits starter Henry Williams, who came just 1 out away for being eligible for the win in the 5th, but he came 1 shy. 4 2/3 for him, 2 runs, rather 3 runs total, 2 earned on 5 hits, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts. The losing pitcher is Beloit starter Ike Buxton, who gave up 4 innings and 4 2/3 on 5 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks of his own. The final time of the ball game, 2 hours and 55 minutes, with 1,314 through the gates here at ABC Supply Stadium. In addition to the win for Block, a hold was credited to Cooper McKeon, who gave up 2 runs in an inning and 2/3, while Brandon Johnson got a 4-out save, a perfect inning and a third with 3 Ks. He came 1 strike away, or I should say 1 swing and a miss away, from an immaculate inning over the course of 2 frames. We were debating as to whether or not that was a thing or not, but I'm going to say it is. If you get 3 outs on 9 pitches with 3 strikeouts, that's good enough for me. Offensively, the Bandits were treated to one of their best showings of the season in terms of the power department. They hit 3 homers in the game, including their second set of back-to-back dingers this week. Brett Squires and Cale Emshoff helped out the Bandits with a 3-run 5th inning on 2 homers. A 2-run shot from Squires, Emshoff a solo shot, both of those coming with 2 outs, of course. Then in the 9th inning, Quad Cities got another homer, this one from Davis Nadal, his first as a Bandit and his first as a member of the Royals organization after coming over in a trade this last year. Other key hitters for the Bandits, Carter Jensen, a multi-hit effort. He goes 2-for-4. Dustin Dickerson, 2-for-5 with an RBI single of his own. And then in a clutch 2-run single for Justin Johnson in the 8th to give the Bandits a 4-run lead at the time. And it was really the Bandits' late inning production which helped them put the nail down on this game. The SkyCarp pesky and continuing to put runners on base throughout the duration of the contest. They scored a couple of runs in the 8th to make it interesting, but the Bandits were right there in the top half of the 9th to further ensure the lead. Like I said, a 2-hour and 55-minute ball game, 1,314 through the gates at ABC Supply Stadium. There goes the string of 2-hour and 20-minute games the Bandits had been rolling off the last 3 days. But this one, well worth it. Quad Cities 9 runs on 12 hits and their second win of the week. Taking a look around the Midwest League scoreboard, as I mentioned earlier, not a lot of action going on this afternoon. The one game that played along with us was in Wisconsin, and the Timber Rattlers got a 6-3 win over the Great Lakes Loons. So now both the Bandits and the Rattlers are 17-9 atop the Midwest League West Division, while Great Lakes falls to 17-9. They still lead the Eastern Division. Coming up this evening, you've got Fort Wayne in Lake County. They start at 5:35 Central. In Lansing, the Lugnuts host South Bend at 6:05 Central. The Dayton Dragons are hosting the West Michigan Whitecaps at Day Air Ballpark. They'll get underway at 6:05 Central Time. And in Cedar Rapids, the Colonels will take on the Peoria Chiefs for Game 5 of their series. They'll start at 6:35 Central. Taking a look around the rest of the Kansas City Royals farm system, there are two games going on right now. One which started in the middle of hours, AAA Omaha in Iowa. Storm Chasers lead the iCubs 2-1 in the bottom of the fourth inning. The iCubs have a run but do not have a hit. Storm Chasers committed an error, so I'm going to assume that had something to do with it. If you want to stay in A-ball, the Columbia Fireflies just started up against Carolina. They're scoreless in the bottom of the first. And if you're looking forward to watching some former River Bandits, or the largest chunk of former River Bandits, you can wait for Northwest Arkansas in Wichita, who will get started in about 2 hours. The Naturals host the Wind Surge at 6:05 Central and are a win away from giving every single Bandits or Royals full-season affiliate a +500 record. So fingers crossed for Sean Mernon and company over at Arvest Ballpark. Coming up tomorrow afternoon, the Bandits will wrap up this six-game series against the Skycarp and put a close to a two-week road trip. The Bandits have been on the road for now 14 days when you include the off day last Monday. They took 4 out of 6 from the South Bend Cubs, but now they'll try to split this set against the Beloit Skycarp. We'll get underway at 1:05 Central with your pregame show at 12:55. Shane Panzini gets the ball for the Bandits. The right-hander's 1-0 with a 5.68 ERA. He'll go up against the right-hander for Beloit, Alex Williams, who's 1-1 with an even 9 earned run average. Quad City saw him in relief a little bit earlier this week. Boy, the rain is absolutely pouring here at ABC Supply Stadium. Again, a shout-out to the Skycarp front office and grounds crew who is out there hurrying to put the tarp on, dealing with rain and wind. They got it on successfully and truly just in the nick of time, because if this game had gone even one batter longer, if Brandon Johnson didn't go 4 straight outs to close the game, we would be in a delay with 2 outs in the bottom of the 9th. There's no way we would be playing right now, and it looks like, based on the radar, that it's going to keep raining for about half an hour. So that would have been a rain-shortened game, most likely down to the last out. So shout-out to Brandon Johnson. He continues to be super efficient, and today he beats not only the Skycarp, but Mother Nature. That'll do it for our broadcast today. Fortunately, my walk to the bus is a short one, and hopefully there's an umbrella or something lying around. The Bandits get a win over the Skycarp 9-5. They'll look to split the series tomorrow. Same time, same place on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Until then, I'm Kyle Kirchwell. Thanking you so much for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow for the finale of this two-week road trip and this six-game series against the Beloit Skycarp. Until then, have a wonderful rest of your Saturday and good night from Southern Wisconsin.